much about.
We're in the spotlight. It's our time to shine. Think y'all are ready for this? Think you can handle it?
Yeah.
I didn't hear you. I said, do you think y'all can handle this?
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I want to take one last look at the word atonement. The first four letters of the word form the foundation. A-T-O-N. Aton. Aton. Aton.
Don't worry about getting to your point. I'm going to live forever.
And now.
You're back on drugs, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Asshole face man.
Our feature presentation.
That is a good way to tell. What's happening?
Oh. Best song ever.
Hey, party people, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. It must be Wednesday, and it's time for some fruitcake.
What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking?
Oh,
fruitcake.
Good.
Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries, green ones too. It's fruitcake.
You know, every time we play one of these dumb songs, whether it's Wing or it's the Chacarone guy or it's Fred Schneider from the B-52s doing fruitcake, that's the song. That's the one you least want to think about the rest
yeah.
of the day
oh,
that
yeah.
you can't get out of your head. How many times did you walk around yesterday going, what you making?
Fruitcake. It's the worst ones, yeah. And you can't get it out until another bad one comes along.
Yeah, that's pretty much true.
And what's that about? Because then you'll hear other songs throughout the day that you love, that you genuinely enjoy and would really like to be thinking about.
Yeah, I don't know.
But for whatever reason, you can't keep those in your head because you're too tied up with fruitcake.
Yeah, I don't know. And Chacarone, I sang to myself all day, and I don't know any of it. There's really no lyrics to that. You just do that.
Right.
Just make that noise.
Anyway, it is definitely the fruitcake season, and we'll talk more about that later on. Right now, though, we want to get to your phone calls at Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. While you're dialing, here's an awesome story, by the way. A woman bit off her 79-year-old husband's tongue.
Oh, my God, his tongue.
Listen to this. This is weird. She's 57, by the way. He's 79. What's up with that?
Good for him.
Probably seemed like a good idea when they, who knows, maybe they got married a long, long time ago and he thought he scored because he was like 40 and she was 20.
Right.
Anyway, 57-year-old Wisconsin woman arrested Monday evening on a felony mayhem domestic violence count after she allegedly bit off half of her husband Willard's tongue while kissing him.
No.
Wait, was it passionate? Or angry?
I think she crazy is what's going on.
Oh.
It is unclear why Karen, that's the wife's name, bit off the tongue. Apparently, the husband says that the wife was in a manic state when he was attacked and had been talking very fast and talking about spiritual things over the past few days.
Spiritual things.
So I don't know whether she was on the meth or she was filled with the Holy Spirit or what was going on there.
Neither.
And this is almost the strangest part of the story. Like, it's weird enough that the guy got half his tongue bitten off. Willard said that he had gotten up around 11:15 p.m. to go to the bathroom where his wife was sitting on the toilet. He had kissed his wife while she was sitting on the toilet.
Uh-oh.
And then she went into a manic state, biting off his tongue. His wife also grabbed his penis.
Oh, my God.
What's happening?
Leave a girl alone when she's doing
no
her business.
Kidding. Do not
what
interrupt
is
business.
What about?
Look, I don't ever want to go into the bathroom when my wife is on the toilet. And if I did, the last thing I would be doing is kissing her while she was doing that. So the man called 911. Mike, I'd like to hear a little bit of what that call would sound like with half his tongue gone. Here you come, hear me? Police found the wife, Karen, outside her home where she was singing Christmas carols with a New Year's horn in her hand.
Wow.
Love it.
She's really insane.
It just gets weirder and weirder, doesn't it?
This can't be the first time he's seen this
behavior?
Crazy sight
yeah,
from her
it
either.
Must have been coming out.
Yeah, because that doesn't just, you don't just snap and then go out and start singing Christmas carols. You're crazy for a long time.
I don't know, man. Tongue, Toilet, Christmas carols. This story has everything.
It really does.
This is the your next animated CBS Christmas special.
Tis
That's
the
what
season.
I'm saying. It is.
Move over, Rudolph.
It's a beautiful thing. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Time for your calls right now. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Kevin Amin T-shirt. Let's try Leo on line 2 to get us going here on the Kevin Amin Show. Hi, Leo. Thanks for calling. What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What's going on?
Nothing much. Hey, Kevin, what'd you do? So, yesterday, I was at the gym, and, you know, after I get my workout on, I just chill in the jacuzzi for a while, and this dude popped in butt-ass naked into the jacuzzi.
Yeah, that happens a lot, doesn't it?
No, it's a co-ed.
Oh,
interesting. Yeah.
And his eyes didn't look all right. Then like a couple minutes later, some guy comes out to confront him. And it turns out he was looking at people while they were showering. He was looking at men over the doors while they were showering.
Yeah. Hey, you missed a spot. What? What are you doing?
Yeah, it was funny. And I guess the guy he was looking at wasn't an ideal candidate for a hot guy because he was short and fat. It was hilarious.
So. Wow.
Yeah. Psycho Mike, sounds like you found a new gym, dude.
No kidding.
Yeah, hell
yeah. No kidding.
Good place for you. That's very funny. So what do they do with a situation like that? I mean, is the guy a member? Do they not let him come there anymore? Or do they call the cops? Or what do they do?
I have no idea. There was two guys ready to pound his face in, and one of the trainers came out and was like, what's going on? And the guy didn't have any workout clothes. He just, like, showed up fresh off of a club, off of popping E and doing lines all night.
Sure.
So he didn't look right in the head.
Yeah. I imagine even if he's a member, you could kick him out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if he's, you know, it's basically sexual assault.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
Wow. Good times. Crazy. It's never the guys you want either, is it? Or the girls?
Never. That is such a good point.
It's a co-ed jacuzzi, and if a woman were to go in there naked, she would not be hot.
Nope.
That's just the rule of thumb, and it sucks.
Thank you for the call, Leo. Let's try Casey, line 1. Hi, Casey. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. What it do?
Hey, what it do? What it do, Lisa?
What it do?
What's going on?
Did you hear about the McCourts and the L.A. Dodgers yesterday?
What happened?
Yes.
What's the latest?
Yeah, I hear, it was ruled that Jamie McCourt is given its community. And so it's possible that they might have to sell the Dodgers now.
Good.
They haven't ruled. I mean, this isn't the final ruling or anything. This was basically Frank, the owner of the Dodgers, was in court saying, look, the way the prenup was worded, the Dodgers are mine. She doesn't have any claim to it at all. And basically what happened yesterday is the judge said, well, yes, she does. It is a community property state, and she does have claim to it. But we still have a long process ahead of us. They tried with mediation, but that didn't work. They were not able to settle it in mediation. So now apparently it is going to be a court trial that who knows how long it'll take or what they'll end up deciding.
It's such a shame when a professional team gets bad owners. Really
oh,
is.
I know.
You know, we talked about this with Al Davis and the Raiders and Donald Sterling Clippers, different people, different teams. You just want to – I hope they're forced to sell to somebody
they
who cares about the
it.
Team.
Yeah.
It just sucks. It sucks they bring out their divorce, you know, out into the public, and they did it just before the playoffs last year, if I remember correctly. Just that blows, because there are people who've spent their lives following whatever team that is. So that kind of sucks. All right, time for to talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Does have a warm, attractive voice, doesn't he?
We have the holiday edition of Ask a Mexican with Gustavo Arellano.
Oh, interesting.
Feliz Navidad!
Well done. Those classes have been paying off. Bean's gone to, well, I don't know, 15 different years of Spanish.
That's
I don't know
all
if
he's
it's
got
quite,
right there.
Quite
that's
that
it.
Many, but...
That's what he's
no,
got.
No, I've got Feliz Navidad y Prospero Año y Felicidad. I got the whole thing.
All
I got the whole song.
Good. Yesterday, we introduced you to somebody in the Internet Roundup we think needs a little more explanation, and she is the crazy hand model. And
she crazy. She way crazy.
She sure models her hands.
She's one of those. She's one of these people. And there were a bunch of ads, magazine ads and TV ads and stuff, where she's showing off a watch or a ring or a product or holding something, and it's always her hand. But
yeah,
she wears these black velvet gloves, and she doesn't do dishes, and she's nuts. You get the idea that she could do none of that and still be a hand model. I mean, I don't know how difficult that is.
Well, if you wore gloves when you did the dishes, I think everything would be fine.
Sure. Sure. There's an author on the program today, Frank Ahern, and he has written a book called How to Disappear.
Yes.
Yay!
What time? When? How long? Do I have to wait?
Next hour. About an hour from right now.
Then I'm out of here.
Yeah. You would never do it. I'm telling
once
you right
I
now.
Get the, once I get this guy's book, man, I'm out of here. I'm gone.
I've skimmed it, and I'm telling
you'll never
you,
find me.
Right, but you're
you also won't be looking for me.
Yeah, exactly. That's that. Where I was going.
A, we wouldn't be looking for you, and B, you're already 90% of the way there.
See, this is why
you're too lazy.
This is why I may be the worst guy to try to disappear, because no one would look for me. Right, so how tough could it be, right? Oh,
how difficult would that be? Yeah, it's a complicated process. And it really is.
Oh,
I was
skimming
through the book, and I was like, wow. And I kept thinking, because Bean's all excited about talking to this guy.
Oh, I love this guy.
You would have none of it. You don't have...
You would have to give up so much.
Well, it's
right?
that, but it's also it's a very aggressive thing. You have to go do this and do this and do this. And he's just too lazy.
this may be the one thing I'm committed enough to actually stick with. To tell you the truth,
no.
But you don't realize until you try to go off the grid. Not that I know, because how would I know how much you are tracked and how many digital footprints you leave everywhere with everything you do. And you're right; you do have to give up a lot in order to not be found.
Yeah, you have to give up all your friends, and that would be impossible for you. And you can't have any contact with family, and that would be impossible for you. So,
right.
Wow, I mean, give up your social life? Woo! No way. Not Bean. Paul Bettany on the program today talking about the tourist.
How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Not bad, right?
Yeah.
We do have to go through the Fruitcake song from Fred Schneider because it's spectacular.
It's the best holiday song of 2010. Sorry, Killers.
It might be the best holiday song ever. It's hard to imagine Fred Schneider from the B-52s turning up the gay, because it seems like he was at a 10 mm-hmm. his whole life. Mm-hmm. But he has reached a 12, and I'm not exactly sure how he did it.
I'm saying gay in a holiday-filled spirit way, though.
Fine.
That's what I'm saying.
Fine.
He's just enjoying his fabulous life, that's all.
Right. Right. But more than anyone else on the planet.
Maybe.
I don't know if you've seen the story about the Botswana president. You probably haven't. It was just a little blurb, but the president of Botswana wants a wife. He's a single guy.
Okay.
And you don't think about this very much, you know, somebody being in the White House, for example, being single and maybe dating or whatever. But this guy, he says that he's too busy running the country to find a wife, so he has his people out doing it.
Oh, really?
And he's given him instructions about how he does not want fat. Like he's said this in a speech. I don't want somebody that's fat. And then he pointed to like one of the interior ministers, somebody in the government uh-huh. there in Botswana, and he pointed at this little fat woman. He goes, like her, I don't want her. She probably couldn't make it through the door, and she probably would break the furniture she sits on. And he was just, this is a president.
Is he crazy?
I would imagine so, yeah. So anyway, we'll give you some more details on that. And we also have your tickets to the 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas in the pit.
I hear that's this weekend.
That is this weekend. Yeah. And we have three different chances for you to win on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Hearts and thoughts, they
hearts and thoughts that fade. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:51.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday, running out of time. If you want to join us this weekend for the Almost Acoustic Christmas shows, Saturday and Sunday nights sold out. As Kevin mentioned, three big chances for you to win on today's show. We'll give you a chance to earn them. We got some games to play. Plus, you are listening for the song Dog Days Are Over by Florence and the Machine. When we play that, be caller 21, and you will score pit tickets for night number two. Very impressed with Florence and her machine when they came in on the show a few weeks ago, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, she's
liked them very much. What a voice.
Yeah, and she sits down and she's super, super calm and quiet. And then she starts singing and you go, whoa, where's that coming from?
Yeah, really.
She unleashes the beast. All right, all that coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us. Time for a first look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Online poll of America's favorite classic holiday TV specials today on the internet. Thought it was interesting. They gave us the top four. Number four was Frosty the Snowman with 17% of the vote.
Yeah.
Oh, Frosty.
Frosty's good.
Look at that Frosty go.
Sure.
The song is good. The special, not so much. It's kind of dopey.
It is dopey.
Yeah.
It's a good word.
Number three on the list, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. 23% of the vote.
That's my favorite.
It's a good one.
Mine too.
It's one of the best. Last night on Glee, there was a big Grinch-themed episode.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, Sue stole all the presents and she painted her face all green.
See? Because she's... Oh.
And she had her little retarded friend as Max the dog.
Oh,
which I
no.
thought was wildly inappropriate.
Which is funny.
Why am I putting you on this reindeer? Just don't ask any questions. Just put it on and put a little black paint on your nose.
Just do it.
Be my little retarded sleigh dog.
You can get the Down syndrome kids to do anything if you tell them, right?
Wow.
Wow, Bean.
Well, I'm saying that's what she's doing on the
yeah,
show.
I know, but
don't write to
do
us
that.
And complain. Write to them.
Second on the list, A Charlie Brown Christmas, 27% of the vote.
Also awesome.
The only of the Peanut specials I really like at all.
Yeah.
I got a rock.
That is the Halloween special.
Oh, is it?
Right.
Yeah.
But he has a rock.
When he goes trick-or-treating, he gets a rock.
All right, well, that one's awesome,
would
too,
would be then. Very different than Charlie Brown Christmas.
But I'm saying that Peanut special is also awesome with
no,
the great pumpkin.
It is
Come
not.
On.
And number one, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, 33% of the vote.
Well, that is exciting.
They yes,
think
it is.
I'm cute! Love that special. Speaking of Rudolph, sad news. Christmas horror in Richmond, Virginia.
Uh-oh.
During the annual parade, when hundreds of spectators were watching, a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer float collided with a set of traffic lights. The inflatable Rudolph exploded, showering the crowd with bits of rubber.
Oh, all these kids are scarred for life.
Yes.
What happened to Rudolph, Mommy?
Apparently,
he blew up.
Yeah, they were trying to maneuver around a traffic light, couldn't make it, and then Rudolph met an untimely end. Apparently, God bless the modern age, someone caught it all on video, and you can find it on YouTube, by
awesome.
The way, if you
want
to see Rudolph exploding all over the kids, which I rented once. And
yeah,
it's a very different film than what you think.
It's disturbing.
Police are currently looking for Vixen to question, so things not going well. Josh Duhamel is still talking about the fact that he was asked 3 times to turn off his cell phone while on a plane flight from New York to Kentucky last week.
Is he admitting that he's a tool?
Oh, he says on Access Hollywood last night, folks, turn off your cell phones. I've learned my lesson. F you!
Wait, didn't he have to turn the plane around?
They had to get him off, they had to pull him off the plane because he refused to comply and laughed in the face of the airline attendant at the last request.
Yeah, that guy is a huge douche.
With a big bellowing, don't you know who I am laugh.
Wow.
F you. All of a sudden, now the camera's on you. Now you learned your lesson and you're a better person.
And he's trying to teach all of us.
Yeah. Murder.
Something
right.
we all knew.
Murder.
If somebody can learn something, then I've done my job.
Yes,
right.
It's
I was just doing
approach.
It to prove a point, you see. Because I'm sharing.
Look, he seems like a tool.
Look, I understand the guy's got troubles. He's married to Fergie, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's true.
I cut him some slack, but still, that's unacceptable behavior.
Murder.
I want to kill myself with the amount of black-eyed peas that I accidentally hear. Imagine how much black-eyed peas is in that guy's life.
Wait till the Super Bowl, baby.
Yeah.
When the peas come out and entertain the world.
I don't mind them as much as you do, Bean.
Let's get it started. That's what they're going to come out with, I guarantee you. Tonight's going to be a good night, I'm sure.
Yeah. I do have that feeling.
PETA was very upset with Lady Gaga when she wore her meat dress.
I can imagine.
Really?
Yes.
How to predict that?
Usually they have such a good sense of humor about stuff.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're going to sing a different tune now, because Natasha Bedingfield, very talented and lovely singer-songwriter, was talking to Us Weekly Magazine, and she said she, for a long time, had been trying to become a vegetarian, but she just couldn't get past the meat. She missed meat too much. She said, until Lady Gaga wore that meat dress, her outfit cured me. I no longer have any interest in meat.
We don't have to eat that meat.
But I'm just saying, she was probably so disgusted by the fact someone was wearing meat that it finally pushed her over the edge. See,
right.
PETA, good things can come from meat dresses.
That's right. You should encourage meat dresses.
Send her a bouquet of veal to thank her.
Does that come
in
bouquets?
Veal bouquet. Oh, I got it for my birthday last year. Oh, it's the best. Comes in little, just little. Sometimes they put a little face. Right in the center.
Oh,
the
wow.
veal face. And the hooves have veal tied to it. Instead of stems.
Oh,
no. My favorite bouquet
Sad.
Of the year. Make some cutlets. Hoff. Oh, Hoff. I feel bad for the Hoff.
I don't.
First of all, he's the Hoff.
He is the Hoff.
Right.
Secondly, his liver is the size of Kevin's head. So that's a bad thing.
That's very large.
And now he's got this new A&E reality show.
Yeah.
This is a mess.
The Hasselhoffs did not do well Sunday night.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
People did not miss much if they did not tune in either.
Ratings were not strong for the Hasselhoffs. In fact, A&E says it's show Storage Wars.
So what's Storage Wars?
Oh, Storage Wars, Kevin. Come on.
You know that one, Kevin.
It is the highly competitive world of bidding on storage containers in do-it-yourself storage places.
I see. So that's like the...
People have abandoned them, and
then the, all
the auction hunters. Is that the same thing? Auction hunters?
Same concept.
Yeah. What's happening? This is sight unseen. You're buying a.
It's not like American
locker.
Pickers, where they actually go out to the junkyards and they find the cool stuff and then they buy it.
Yeah, American Pickers is great.
It is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
American Pickers rules.
I've never even heard of it.
Never heard of it. It's the best.
How can you watch all the crazy shows no one's ever heard of and American Pickers doesn't make it?
That's true.
American Pickers
rocks. You've never heard of American Pickers
either. I've never heard it, but I don't watch all the crap you watch. I think you've seen everything once.
American Pickers seriously does rip, bro.
It's amazing. It's addictive, awesome television.
But American Pickers rips because it has one thing that auction hunters and all this other stuff doesn't have, and that's the awesome people they find along the way when they go a-picking.
They go all through like the Midwest and the South, and they meet these crazy people who have these junkyards. And they go on their property and they say, oh, you've got a Studebaker here under 4,000 pounds of crap. How much do you want for that? Well, I'll take $7 for it. Thank you, sir. Cha-ching!
Murder.
Oh, American Pickers.
What a terrible...
What's a bad name,
Sometimes
too, yeah.
History Channel will back American Pickers with...
Pawn Stars.
Back to back. It's too much.
Too much.
It's too much goodness.
That's Super Bowl.
Wonderfulness.
That's Super Bowl for me.
You just get naked and you roll around in your living room on the carpet because it's the best hour of television you've ever had
and
in your life.
And by best hour, you mean it's
amazing.
Ridiculous. Come on now. Yeah. And then they go right into Auction Hunters and then to Antique Roadshow. You guys rolling around in that slop?
No. But
how did this whole thing get started? What was the original story?
Storage Wars. It's a new show about dudes who bid on sealed storage containers.
Which beat the Hasselhoffs.
But they battle each other. It's a war.
They actually fight with their fists?
With guns.
Now I'm in.
No, with fists, guns, tanks, and planes. There's air support. There's napalm. It's a war.
And then they open it and they see there's nothing in there. And they go, shoot, that wasn't worth it.
Anyway, Storage Wars, which also did not do great, still doubled the ratings for the Hoff show. So
I don't know that we talked about it on the air when we discussed the Hasselhoff show briefly this week, but the impression we get is that he's broke, right? That he, one of the reasons he's doing this TV show is he needs the money, which is just shocking to me with all jobs he's had.
He has somehow gotten rid of hundreds of millions of dollars. He was one of the richest. Wasn't he worth almost a billion or something?
God,
because he owned
Baywatch.
Baywatch International. The international rights to Baywatch.
Everywhere.
He was the one who took the show and took it overseas, and it made a huge, huge hit internationally. Yeah.
Now he's seen
and
it's gone.
As he mentions on the show, he is also still the German Elvis. So you'd think that that would translate into some record sales and some residuals, too.
Yeah. They call him Jelvis.
Do they?
Over there.
Yeah.
But he's got a new gig. He is flying to the UK. He is going to be the host on Britain's Got Talent. He's going to be the third host on Britain's Got Talent.
The judge.
He's going to be the third judge on that show. Simon Cowell has given him a gig. He lost the one on America's Got Talent. And now they're giving him a job over in Britain's Got Talent.
People are still hiring him.
He's got work in the pipeline.
Something funny about him judging talent.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kim Basinger is 57 years old today. Terry Hatcher from Desperate Housewives is 46 years old. Sinead O'Connor celebrates her 44th birthday.
I wouldn't bell her.
She's an attractive lady. I know it's hard to put her in that context, but if you just look at her, she's a very pretty woman. And now that she has hair, even prettier.
I haven't seen her with hair.
Oh, yeah, she's even prettier.
And big, beautiful eyes, Kevin, which you usually love.
Are they big, beautiful god eyes? Or heaven eyes? Or whatever it is you said?
No, just eyes.
All right.
Don't you remember that video, Nothing Compares to You, when it was just her staring into the camera and you saw those giant peepers of hers?
Really? Her peepers?
Her big lamps? Peepers? Yeah. Her big lamps were there flashing at you?
Giant peepers?
Dominic Monaghan.
Bonkers.
Dominic Monaghan of Lost and Lord of the Rings fame is 34 years old today. His Lost buddy, Ian Somerhalder, also celebrates a birthday. He's 32. Rapper Mickey Rick. One more time. How many consonants can I put in front of this name that are wrong? Nicki Minaj.
Oh, yeah.
Is 26 years old today. Her ass is 47. I don't know how it worked out, but her ass was born first, I guess. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Rayman! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9 minutes after 6 o'clock.
See, don't say we don't ever just play a song for the ladies. We do, right there. In less than a half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the author of a book called How to Disappear, Erase Your Digital Footprint, Leave False Trails, and Vanish Without a Trace. So if you're in my situation, please stay tuned to the Kevin and Bean Show. That is coming up. First, though, I think it's time to meet one of Kevin's people.
Well, this woman is crazy, and we featured her on the Internet Roundup yesterday, but not nearly enough. We didn't really focus on her as much as we should.
She needs her own break.
She's a hand model, and a professional hand model. And so she's the person when you see a commercial on TV for a ring, it's her hand. A prod, if she's holding soap, it's her hand.
I bet there's not that many of them. I mean, you don't really need a lot of them.
I wouldn't think so either.
That's true. It sounds like she gets a lot of work. I mean, she's able to make a full-time living doing it, and some of the jobs, she says, pays thousands of dollars.
Yeah, crazy.
Wow.
She sees her hands as athletes. She's a supermodel of hands, and we need to get a little bit more into this woman's psyche.
I like to say that my hands look good naked. They are really just the perfect neutral toned hand. So the skin is flawless. And it's very even toned, so it lights well and it photographs well.
By the way, while she's doing this, her hands are in front of her face and she's doing all of this, like...
They never stop moving.
Never stop moving.
The nails are very, very healthy, and they just emanate, like radiate health.
All right, take it easy with your hands. They just radiate health.
Oh, my God.
So, what does she do? Is she a model or is she an athlete?
I view my hands as elite athletes, like Olympic athletes.
Yes. Yes, it's not the person, it's her hand. Her hand is an Olympic athlete.
Well, because all her hands have to do is just show up, right? They don't have to train, they don't have to learn, they don't have to do. They right. just have to be there, right?
They don't have to really compete.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's the same thing. Now, here's what kills us. She has a list of things that she won't do because she has to take care of her hands. You know right. what I mean? That's the moneymaker. So you can't be doing stuff that's going to ruin it.
And so everything I do is to protect them from being in any jeopardy or any danger in any way. So for me, that means no cooking.
Okay, so no cooking.
Okay.
No
Can't
cooking.
Can't you wear gloves or something?
She wears gloves all the time.
Well, then you can cook.
Nope. No cooking.
I'd like to point out, by the way, that most of us and everyone listening manages to cook without screwing up our hands, too.
No, not me. I cut myself off.
Right. Oh, do you?
Yeah.
All right.
That's
fine.
I'm a disaster.
Okay, so no cooking, but that's really the most extreme in her list.
Cleaning.
No cleaning.
Oh, come on.
Zero cleaning. You're not allowed to clean.
Well,
anything
how,
ever.
But tell me how dusting or cleaning out the toilet bowl or something like that is going to screw with your hands. It doesn't seem like that would damage them
Dude,
at all.
Dude, that's her moneymaker.
You can't vacuum because it's going to do something to your hands?
I'm going
to
play the whole list and then we'll discuss some of them.
All right. So for me, that means no cooking, no cleaning, no taking out the garbage, no opening cans, no opening windows, no opening doors, no gardening, no sports, you know, no, a million no's. But... You know, because for me, an injury really would mean a paper cut or a broken nail or a little bruise. Something mundane to you would be a disaster for me.
Yeah. She can't take out the trash.
Oh, God.
She can't. God. And here's my, I think the easiest one she mentioned is open a door.
Yeah. How does she get to these jobs then if she can't open a door?
She must have, an assistant. She just stand in front of the front door and just wait.
She's a freak.
She's wearing gloves. You can't turn a doorknob? Really?
Yeah. And by the way, I hate her, and she should die, but the voice and her cadence just kills me. If she weren't talking about hand modeling, if she were talking about how she was feeding the poor, I would hate this woman just listening to her.
Yeah. You know what there's not on her hands? A wedding ring. I'll tell you that. That doesn't exist.
She wouldn't wear one anyway, by the way.
That's true.
She couldn't get that tan line.
But she couldn't get the guy is my point.
Right.
Yeah,
oh, my
on.
God. Can you imagine putting up with that?
Do you know what she can't do?
Yes, I do. First thing I thought.
That comes a little later in the interview. All right.
I am the supermodel of hands because my hands are flawless. I'm not a hand that will take your attention away from something else. I'm just a hand that will fit in. I am the hand next door.
All right. I'm the hand next door. You can't be the supermodel of hands and be the hand next door, can you?
No, you can't.
Come on now with that. So then there's an interviewer, and she's asking her questions about gloves. You mentioned, can't she just wear gloves?
So you wear gloves every single day. I wear gloves every day, all day.
Nearly 500 pairs.
500 pairs of gloves.
Okay.
For
What's
every situation.
About?
Dude, protection. Protection.
But if you
she's
had...
She's a hand model.
Lisa, if you had... Five pair of gloves? Wouldn't you have gloves to cover any possible situation that you would need to wear gloves?
Yes.
500.
500.
500.
The gloves are her shoes?
She could literally wear for almost a year and a half a different pair of gloves.
Oh,
how crazy is that?
Hand modeling is quite similar to dancing.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no. I'm going to go with hand model, not the same as dancing.
Nothing like dancing.
Because dancing, really, you kind of involve your whole body.
It's hard to do.
Yes. Hand modeling, no.
In that it's a performance. When you're actually on a job, you do the choreography, you do it again and again, and it's muscle memory, and it's gracefulness, and it's performing. And at the end, people applaud, and they're happy, and they pay you, and you go away, and you feel very accomplished, like you've really done something, especially on TV.
Yeah. She needs to
stop. I want to cut off her hands. That's what I want to do. I want to find her and tie her up and cut off her hands. Oh, it's going to be such a performance that I would enjoy.
Now, here's where she starts talking about the work and how she has to prepare for it. She has to prepare for the work.
Now, to make your hand look best, it's a whole little complicated science. So the day before, say I have a job tomorrow.
All right, so she has a hand job tomorrow. Okay.
Excuse me? Excuse me?
She has a hand job tomorrow.
A job so what modeling she does, your hands.
What?
A job modeling your hands.
Yeah.
Is what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the day before, she goes through a very, very difficult rigmarole just to make sure that her hands are ready for the job.
So that means all day the day before, I'm very careful about what I eat. I'm not eating salt or sugar.
Okay. So she's not eating salt or sugar because that can change the appearance.
She doesn't want her hands to be puffy.
Of her hand the next day?
I guess.
Or caffeine or anything that's going to pump the blood through my veins. So it's the whole hand model diet. And I have to get enough sleep because...
You heard her. Hand mile diet.
She has to get... She has to get enough sleep because why?
Because...
You know, you just have to be very calm and centered because these jobs are very stressful.
Sometimes hand jobs can be very special. I'm stressful. I'm sorry.
Jobs modeling hands.
Special, I meant stressful. What, Bean?
Jobs modeling hands, I think, is the correct way to describe what she does.
She
as
says...
As opposed to that.
She says... She says she has hand jobs. I don't understand.
Jobs with her hands. Jobs where she uses her hands. Right.
Okay. So that's the day before. What about the day of?
And then I sort of have my hand model workout in the morning where I do a lot of yoga because you have to be very flexible on these jobs.
But you have to be very flexible on the jobs.
Yoga.
When you have a hand job, flexibility is the most important
part. Your whole
part.
Body has to be flexible to be a hand model.
But you don't want to do anything aerobic because you don't want... you don't want your veins to be coursing, you know, with blood. So I have to be very careful about how I do any exercise. Really, the best hand is a hand that's sort of sleepy looking, you know, a little lethargic, a little pampered. So you don't want big muscles in your hands or big veins in your hands because that just doesn't photograph well.
You want your hands to be sleepy, lethargic.
She does nothing.
I can do that. No, she does zero.
She has found a way. Bean, you should be a hand model. Because this woman has found the perfect excuse to do nothing.
That's a good point. Boy, you also get the impression that her entire life is wrapped up in being a hand model. Like, it's the only thing in the world that's important to her.
Yeah.
And between hand jobs, she does nothing but spend time taking care of it and not doing anything else.
Because
between jobs,
she might
modeling her hands, right?
Into her hands.
Why do you keep correcting me, Bean?
I want to make sure it's clear what we're talking about here.
All right.
When it comes right down to it, everybody really appreciates what I've done. I am very serious about what I do, and I really don't forget about it for a second.
No, you don't.
Yeah, that's
no,
her.
You
and
don't.
You don't want us to either.
That's her.
Yeah, everyone appreciates this. Or you just did your job and they paid you and they never thought about you
and
again.
If it wasn't you, it would have been somebody else.
Yeah, there's that too.
That didn't do all of that stuff before.
Oh, they're so happy when I'm done. Yeah, they're so happy when you're done.
She's accomplished a lot in her career.
They're happy to see you walking away with your hands.
Wow.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Ralph Garman joins us in studio, but unfortunately...
Sorry, we're out of time.
Now, Mike, how we fix your time? Mike, how we fix your time?
Oh, we're good.
We're good? Wait,
the clock. It looks late to me.
No, it looks good to me.
Hmm. What do you got, Ralph? I hate it when you come in and say, I need some time. I got a secret break.
Well,
come on.
As you know, I like to consider myself sort of the unofficial historian of the Kevin and Bean
and
Show.
And by that, you mean you like to mock
How
us.
Dare you, sir? I am just
with
trying...
With anything you can find.
I am keeping...
And it's not that hard to find.
I am keeping an oral and visual history of the Kevin and Bean Show that someday, when historians look back on the Kevin and Bean Show, the juggernaut that was the radio program, the Kevin and Bean Show, they will have a a complete understanding of exactly how the show operated.
I'd rather they didn't have an understanding of your secret breaks,
though.
I think
they need to know.
They're never good.
And the listeners are so kind, they will send me audio and video of you guys back in the day, and I think it's fascinating to learn that as long as you've been doing this, some 20 years now, you really have not gotten any better.
Right, but we can tell you that without you having to go through...
But I just think it's entertaining for the listeners to hear some older stuff, just just to see what it was like back in the day with Kevin and Bean. And this piece of video, which, by the way, has just been posted on kevinandbean.com.
Yeah!
Oh, no.
This is video?
Oh, this is video, I'm going to play some audio clips from a spectacular piece of video. And this happens from time to time here in Los Angeles. The morning news, when they need a ratings boost during sweeps, will do a week where they check in with the morning hosts, the radio morning show hosts of the town. And they'll do one a day. And apparently this was ABC locally here in Los Angeles. And they had a conversation with Kevin and Bean. And here's the...
Too bad we don't have audio from that. That'd be great.
Here's the morning television team talking about.
Well, you wake up with them just about every morning. You've never seen them like you're about to see them right here on Eyewitness News at 6 a.m.
This morning, we are going to begin our live visits with the top personalities of L.A. morning radio. And right now, folks, you've been waiting for it all morning. We know.
Nope.
We're going to take you to the Burbank studios of K-Rock FM 106.7, the home of Kevin and Bean. Hello, guys.
Hey. Yeah.
Listen to him throwing fire.
This is got to be about 15 years old because we were still in Burbank.
Yeah. Do you remember this at all, Bean?
Bean still,
I don't.
Bean
no memory still, whatsoever.
Bean still lived here.
Yeah.
And you guys, you're dorks. You're,
dude, we've always been dorks.
Yeah, but you're especially dorky.
But I know, but you can look at any point in our lives and say dorky.
So they throw to you guys, they've got a live camera in the studio with you guys there in just some like horror movie lighting. And it looks like Vincent Price should be hosting a radio program from the studio. And listen to Kevin.
Come on now.
Listen to Kevin when the question is asked, what makes your show different? Kevin still got it, man. He's still our Kevin.
What's the show like? What do you guys do down there?
We do the opposite of Rick Dees. That's our whole deal. If you watch Rick Dees or listen to Rick Dees, we do the exact opposite.
The exact opposite?
And then Kevin takes his headphones off, and so there's feedback.
All kinds of feedback.
Between the microphones and the TV studio. Look, I don't know if you heard Kevin there talking about Rick Dees.
The name Rick Dees is a very difficult name to say.
And watching Rick Dees on the radio is even harder, I would have to say. In case you missed it, I just
come
isolated
on.
This
oh,
one
good.
Little
I
bit.
I want to hear again.
Here's Kevin.
Okay.
If you watch Rick Dickies or listen to Rick Dees,
it's Rick Dickies. It's because he wears Dickies.
If you listen to Dickies.
I didn't know he was like that back then.
See, I'm telling
I've
you.
I've always been like that.
We've always really? Been afraid that Kevin has some debilitating brain disease. But it's
way.
He's always been that way. He's fine.
This is awesome.
So then they talk about the hilarious comedy that the Kevin and Bean Show used to provide, which included giving away small ceramic parrots to some of their special guests
the
who would come into the studio.
Oh, right, yeah.
Listen to how proud Kevin and Bean are.
Well, now, I understand you guys have some kind of birds or something down there. What's that all about?
That's a hell of a question. And the fact that he could ask that of
That's
us.
That's all he's got. That's all he's got
the
of Kevin and Bean.
The fact that he could ask that of us is sad. Like, that he had that hook to ask.
What about a parrot, Frank?
Free parrots. Yeah. This is a gift that we give to some of the people that come into the studio. Isn't it lovely? We got it for 50 cents at J.J. McCrory's, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is TV.
It's TV.
This is gripping.
This
TV.
Is what they do to increase their ratings.
That's what
say?
They claim.
And well, they don't do it anymore, you'll notice.
Yeah.
And then there is a piece of tape in the package which shows Kevin and Bean battling another morning radio show here in Los Angeles named Mark and Brian. And they get a fan of the Mark and Brian show, and they dress up as Mark and Brian to meet him.
Don't remember
Wait,
this at all.
We do? We dress up like Mark and Brian?
We've got this video is posted, by the way, on kevinandbean.com. You can see Kevin and Bean dressing up as Mark and Brian, which really only consists of Bean wearing a long, flowing blonde mullet wig,
okay.
Kevin wearing a long, dark mullet wig, and they're wearing simple white T-shirts with the names Mark and Brian written on them.
But where does the listener come in? How do we meet
Apparently,
them?
Apparently, someone from your show contacted a Mark and Brian fan and said, would you like to meet Mark and Brian? And you guys videotaped it.
All right.
Oh, my God.
For a very hilarious video segment that was included in this package with this morning TV
I have no
TV
memory
show.
Of this whatsoever.
Well, you're a lucky, lucky man. Unfortunately, it's up on kevinandbean.com right now if you want to see them dressed as Mark and Brian. Here's a little audio from that.
We also have an incident here on tape where you dressed up like Mark and Brian.
Well, we generally most days dress up like Mark and Brian to kind of put us in the mood, you know, in the star mode.
And I think this next piece of tape that you have is us running into a Mark and Brian fan out in the hallway.
That's right. Let's check it out.
Yeah.
Do you know Mark and Brian?
Yeah.
You know Mark and Brian?
Yeah.
You listen to them all the time?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you saw him, you could recognize him?
No, I've never saw him.
What do you think of the hall here?
I see a couple guys with Mark and Brian on. Hey,
how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm Mark.
All right, man.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Who do you do?
Who are you?
Yeah, how about that Elvis?
Elvis, Elvis Pelvis?
Yeah, how about that Elvis?
He's cool.
Oh, I love the Elvis.
Oh, that's great.
Do you like when we talk about Elvis?
Yeah, man, he's all right.
We talk about Elvis all the time. You know why? He's the king.
Yeah.
Wow. Why did we do that?
Who sent you this tape? Who do we need to have
who's
run
on the hit
out?
List?
Come on.
I'm under responsibility to protect my sources at all costs, so because I want the tape to keep a flowing.
I feel like our entire life has turned into a giant WikiLeaks. I don't know what's going on here. We just can't stop this information that's embarrassing from coming out.
You should have thought of that before you were bad.
Well, I guess you're
if
right
you
about
that. If
you
didn't want to come back on, you shouldn't have been bad.
Was there a time before that? When we could
not yet.
When we
not yet.
When we could have thought about it and avoided that
tape.
Road.
I'll be playing this tape some 20 years from
come
now.
Come on now.
Your chance to win tickets in the pit coming up all day long today on the Kevin and Bean Show for this weekend's Almost Acoustic Christmas concert. Also, actor Paul Bettany joins us. He's in that movie with Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie, right?
The Tourist, yeah.
Nice.
Wow. What a cast.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, how do we not get Angelina? Come on
first,
now.
First, though, Psycho Mike, I got a question for you, and that is, what's your bacon?
Fruitcake.
What's your making?
Fruitcake.
New song from Fred Schneider, the B-52s. We've lately become obsessed with it. I think this is going to be the holiday standard that's going to make people forget about White Christmas. Won't you please enjoy?
Sure. What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking? Fruitcake.
Nice.
Candy cherries. Red dye number two. Green cherries. Green ones too. It's fruitcake. It's fruitcake.
Now, what's your deal, Kevin? You're not a fan of Fred Schneider? Is that what I understand?
I've always hated him. Even in the B-52s, I've always just...
Why?
I don't know. He's just... I don't know.
Because he's so much fun?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's why. No, I don't know. I think it's just he's super annoying. Even on the B-52 songs, he seemed like he was super annoying.
He tries too hard.
I guess. I don't know.
Oh, but he's having a good time, so nobody else can. Is that what you're saying?
No,
that's
I just
generally
never...
Kevin's motto.
No, how dare you?
Who has more fun than me?
Pecans or walnuts? Citrus peel. Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
Add what you feel.
Look at Lisa dancing around.
Sticks of butter. Cinnamon.
Yeah, list the ingredients.
Mo molasses. Lots of dark rum, artificial color, artificial flavor.
It's a whole recipe for you.
Yeah. If your family don't want it, give it to a neighbor. It's fruitcake.
Well, you can buy the Fred Schneider song. By the way, you can see the video for that song, Fruitcake, at kevinandbean.com. That is posted right now. You can buy the album on amazon.com. It's a complete Christmas album. Not just a song. It's a whole album available from Fred Schneider.
Are all the songs that good?
Santa's Disco is pretty awesome. I'll tell you that.
All right.
And I have a real treat for you here, Kevin, because I'm sorry that you said those bad things about Mr. Schneider, because Fred Schneider from the B-52s on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk about his new holiday release.
Hi,
Fred.
I've always liked you, Fred.
Good morning. Kevin.
Thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the new album, Destination Christmas! Exclamation point.
Thank you very much.
Now, Kevin, you were saying earlier today that you can't believe that how Fred Schneider was able to amp up the gay from where he was to where he gets to in this song. What do you mean by that?
Fred, you were always a 10 on the gay scale.
Thank you.
Right. And then somehow you raised your game to a 12, and I don't know how you do that, because it's really out of 10.
But it's the holiday season.
Right. But come on. And then in the video, if you watch the video, you got these gay guys, like, taking off their shirts and rubbing fruitcake on each other.
They're not gay guys. They're just young and buff guys.
Right. Uh-huh.
You don't know that they're
sure.
gay.
No, okay. I don't. You're right.
They're just happy with each other.
So, Fred, has it been a dream of yours for a long time to make a holiday album?
Always wanted to do holiday music.
Can you can't talk. You just have to sing your responses?
I've got songs for all my holidays.
Oh, really?
Really? Beyond the Christmas songs like Fruitcake and Santa's Disco, there's more?
Spin the dreidel. It's a Jewish top.
Okay. All right, that sounds like a good song, Fred.
It's Kwanzaa. Christmas for black folks.
It doesn't sound like you've worked very much on the lyrics to any of these songs.
Have you heard my music?
True.
Yeah.
Don't work very hard at all.
But the important thing is, and this is what I've always loved about the B-52s too, is you guys are having a great time on stage and the audience is having a fun time being there, right?
Happy Ramadan! Put on a towel!
These are the songs on your Christmas CD?
No, my holiday CD.
Holiday CD, I'm sorry.
Holidays for everybody!
Fred, when you walk in at the end of the day, is it, hi, honey, I'm home? I mean, is that it all the time for you?
Yes, I say that to my wife.
To your what?
My wife.
To your wife?
Turns out, I'm straight. Just kidding.
We have tickets for night number two of the Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. Now, are we going to give those away here? Give those away at the end of the Showbiz Report? Give those away when?
Hang on a second. Let's figure this out before we get on the air. Ralph, you give anything away right here?
I'm good. I'm running lean and mean.
Okay, so you don't have a giveaway?
No giveaway here.
I would say let's...
I'll have something to give away later, though.
Okay, we'll do it later then.
We'll do that later, but we should... Let's tell people to call now.
Why is Lisa dressed like a newsie?
I tried to figure that out, too.
This would be my version of your baseball hat.
If there's one thing I learned on Glee, it's that those hats were so last year. Berets are out. You know that. All right, here's the deal. Night number two, I want to say, is what we're looking for right now. If you want to go see Phoenix, Vampire Weekend, Brandon Flowers, Black Keys, Temper Trap, Neon Trees, Florence and the Machine, Edward Sharp and the Beaver Brown Band, Broken Bells, and Switch, whatever they're called, and Switchfoot, you can see all of those right now. We're looking for people who are good with song lyrics. If you're good with lyrics, you'll have a chance at winning this game. You can call now to get on the air. You have to be on hold for a few minutes, but then we'll play 1-800-520-1067. Right now, time for Ralph, who's hyperventilating. He's so excited about the showbiz
beat. Adding drama to your announcement.
Mm.
I'm gasping in shock.
Time for the showbiz beat.
All right. Let's talk about showbiz, shall we? Sad news for fans of Tim Roth and his Fox series Lie to Me.
Oh, I love that show.
No.
Apparently, it has not been picked up for the remainder of the season by Fox. Hollywood Reporter says... Fox will not say definitely that the show has been canceled because they're waiting until spring to find out how many shows the network will need to fill its schedule. But they are certainly not ordering any new episodes right now.
Oh,
so.
I like that show. I do too.
It got a little repetitive to me.
Wait, you like it, Lisa?
Changing your mind, Kevin?
Sorry. I don't like it. Yeah.
But I'm with you, Ralph. The last few episodes I've watched, I'm like, they're cobbling a story together here. It really isn't working.
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, hard to create a lot of different variations on a theme where a guy just tells the people are lying.
Gets right in your face.
Yeah. I can tell. Look at your eyes. I can tell you're lying. Yeah, you're lying to me right now. How many times can you hear that?
Yeah.
A lot.
Well, Kevin, this will make you feel better. Adam Sandler and Kevin James are teaming up for another movie.
Yay! Yay!
Kevin's people rejoice. Listen, you can hear them now in the distance. Yay! Adam Sandler and Kevin James are teaming up for a new film called Valet Guys. Oh, just the title alone has me belly aching. It's rib tickling.
What's it about?
Valet Guys? What's Valet Guys about, Kevin?
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, you'll be surprised to know that Adam and Kevin will play a couple of veteran valet parkers.
Oh, that does sound good.
In South Beach. They work at a hotel in Miami, but then they witness a murder, and they find themselves running for their lives while the bad guys try to catch them. Kevin, you're laughing already.
You know he's going.
Oh, you're going to be on our opening day.
Look, sounds terrible. Let's be honest.
Yes.
And
when has that ever stopped you?
Well, I have to wait and see what it looks like.
What if Kevin James is also a part-time mall cop?
None
of it goes around on a Segway.
Is he still fat?
Kevin, I'm just going to stay home and watch Burlesque.
Did you go see Grown Ups, Kevin?
Trying to remember.
That was the one with Sandler and James and Chris Rock and David Spade.
No, I didn't. And I'll tell you why. Because they did so many commercials during the NBA playoffs that it drove me crazy and I got angry.
So you said no in protest.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe Kevin passed on a Sandler movie.
I can't either. But now it's just Sandler and James, the way we love them, together again. Right. For the people who brought you Chuck and Larry Go Homo or whatever that movie was. Oh, God damn this. God damn the world. Just damn. Just damn. Damn.
There's room for everyone, Ralph.
Not this. There's not room for this.
There is.
There's room for everyone, but not this. And to make things worse, have you seen the movie he's making with Vince Vaughn, Kevin James?
No.
Mm-mm.
There's commercials now running for this new comedy where Kevin James is married to Winona Ryder.
Oh. Yeah.
And Vince Vaughn spots her cheating on Kevin James, who's his best friend. And it's called The Dilemma. How do you tell your best friend that his wife is cheating on him?
Right. Okay, that doesn't sound good.
That's what I'm saying!
king.
But you got to wait and look at the trailer and who's directing.
I've seen the trailer, and there's a hilarious sequence where Kevin James is dancing on the dance floor, and he's shaking, and he's all fat. Oh, man.
That always makes me laugh.
I'm going to come around that side of the room and hit you right in the head.
Come on, fat people dancing? Come on. That gets me every time. Always will.
Kevin James, if there's anyone funnier than Kevin James, I want names.
I got a long, long list, starting with Hitler,
the Mother Teresa.
Come on now.
A banana slug.
He's fat.
And this is part of the problem. This is why we have Ryan Seacrest and Dick Clark dominating our airwaves on New Year's Eve. This is what Fox has in the way of counter-programming. Fox is doing a New Year's Eve live special from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Nancy O'Dell will be the host.
Okay.
From Access Hollywood. And she's going to be on Entertainment Tonight, right? Isn't she just got
a
gig over there?
That's right.
Special guests. This is going to be very exciting. David Archuleta and Travie McCoy. So,
oh my God.
You're going to be torn which show to watch on New Year's Eve.
Targeting people who are too young to be able to go out at night? Is that what it is?
I guess that's what the Fox plan is.
Must be.
Good. Look, they can't drink, they can't party, so we're going to give them Travie McCoy and David Archuleta and Nancy O'Dell, and that'll spiff up their evening.
Dude, New Year's Eve TV programming is always the worst because most people are out doing stuff.
Yeah, you're either old or you're young.
Well, most people on New Year's Eve are at home, though, in the country. I mean, it seems like it would be worth programming to them.
They have homes in the country?
What?
I don't even have a home in the country. How do these people have that?
you know what I mean. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I'm just saying there's you know, 200 million people at home on New Year's Eve. You'd think that they would go out of their way to program something awesome. But you're right. Most New Year's Eve programming is pretty lame.
Today's celebrity birthday is Kim Basinger is 57 years old today. Rich? Terry Hatcher. That's not even close to rich.
Rich Hatcher. She is rich.
She's rich. She's 46 years old. Sinead O'Connor's 44 years old. Dominic Monaghan from Lost is 34. Ian Somerhalder, his co-star from that series, is 32. San Diego Superchargers quarterback Philip Rivers celebrates his 29th birthday. We had him here in the studio not too long ago. What a nice, nice guy.
Awesome dude.
Great dude. Nicer. And rapper Nicki Minaj celebrates her 26th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I can sense the desperation in the phone calls coming into the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, you don't understand. I have to go this weekend to the Acoustic Christmas Concerts. And we do feel your pain. It's a tiny venue with lots of great bands. We've got tickets for you for night number two right now with Phoenix, Vampire Weekend, Brandon Flowers, Black East, Temper Trap, Neon Trees, Florence and the Machine, Edward Sharp, and his Magnetic Zeros, also Broken Bell and Switchfoot. We're going to be broadcasting live from there and webcasting the show. But it's even better to be there in person. If you want to engage, you can call right now. What are we playing this time?
Don't forget the Sing and Be lyrics. 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 Don't forget the Sing and Be lyrics.
Now it's time for America's favorite new game show. Don't forget the Sing and Be lyrics with your host, Wayne Fatone.
Thank you so much. Hey, come on, Todd, you're all crazy. Thank you very much.
There are a couple of different shows very popular on TV. One called Don't Forget the Lyrics. They're called The Singing Bee. They're basically the same game, and we're playing it here on the radio right now.
Sure are.
How is the game played, folks who are on hold?
Here's how the game is played. We will tell you the name of a song and the artist who performs that song. They are all performing at Almost Acoustic Christmas. We'll play for you a portion of that song. Once the song stops, you need to continue singing the lyrics. If you do so successfully, you'll be put a drawing for the big grand prize, which is a pair of tickets!
In the pit!
Is
it difficult to keep up this level of excitement?
Not at all! Okay. Because this game is so exciting, Kevin! It's so incredibly exciting, and I can't wait to give away a pair of tickets.
Okay. Alright, let's try Kent. Let's see how the game goes. Contestant, everyone, don't assault the woman, Wade.
Candace, how are you doing this morning? You feeling good?
I'm okay, a little nervous.
Come on, Candace, get excited. This is an exciting game, Candace.
Okay, she doesn't
Candace,
have to
are
get
you
excited?
She can Candace, get excited. Are you excited?
If she wins, she can get excited. Wait, calm down. All right, so you're going to be...
Candace, are you pretty good with lyrics?
Yes.
All right, good. Because your song is by Phoenix. It's called 1901. Are you familiar with that song?
Yes.
Okay, let's see how familiar you are. We're going to play a piece of that song. When we stop, you keep singing. If you're right, you go with drawing. Are you ready, Candace?
Yes.
I'm worn out.
That's not in the lyrics at all.
I'm sorry. The S word not in the song. Now, can we... So you did not win, but can we play for her what we were hoping she might sing?
Now you know it's easy. dancing like we all did right. it over summer long.
We got to wait.
That's the lyric okay. that you didn't get.
That's bad.
So she got John!
She forgot John! To sing the lyric.
John!
Stop yelling at Jake. I haven't even introduced him yet. Hey, John.
I just introduced him. John! John, you're an EMT.
Yeah, what
up? You're an emergency medic technician.
That's correct.
All right, are you going to be ready to an emergency lyric singer?
I hope so.
All right.
Are you familiar with the Neon Tree song Animal, John?
Yeah.
Well, I hope you are, because we're going to play a piece of that song, and then you need to sing once we stop. Are you ready, John?
Yeah, go for it.
All right.
What are you waiting for? Say goodbye to my heart tonight.
That's close enough to me.
It's take a bite of my heart tonight.
Dang. But
it sounds like say goodbye. And absolutely. I thought it was say goodbye until just right now.
Me too. Right. Me too.
Okay, he's in.
All right, John, you're in. Congratulations, EMT.
All right, thank you.
Lindsay!
Let's go, Lindsay.
Okay. Lindsay!
Hello? Hi.
Lindsay, you're a high school student?
Yes.
How are your grades? Are your grades good?
Yeah.
All right, do your homework and stay off drugs, okay, Lindsay?
Okay.
All right. Are you familiar with a song by Vampire Weekend called Holiday?
Okay.
Not okay. That's not the proper answer.
Are you familiar with it? Is it yes,
yes
or no?
I am.
Yes,
okay.
Yes,
okay. We're going to play a little piece. Then you keep singing once it stops. Okay, Lindsay?
Okay.
All right.
To go away on a summer's day never seems so clear.
Great job, Lindsay. You're in the drawing. Hold on.
Okay.
AJ!
Let's go to AJ. I didn't even have him on the phone yet.
AJ!
I may have the patience for maybe one more contestant. I'm sorry. I'm fading
it's
fast
not
here.
The contestants. It's our host.
No, it's
AJ!
Waiting.
All right, AJ, hi.
Hello.
AJ, hi. You're an accountant?
Yes, I am.
You're an accountant? Well, we're accounting on you to do a good job here today, okay,
man.
Buddy?
Come on.
Hey, are you familiar with the Temper Trap's Sweet Disposition?
Yes.
Or sweet deposition?
As it says here.
It says deposition here.
That's
here.
My bad. But I don't believe that's the name of the song.
Omar doesn't type in English.
It's very different.
It's a very different song. Okay,
yeah, remember that Omar's translating everything from Farsi, so it's a little difficult for him.
We're going to play a little piece. You keep singing once the music stops. Okay, AJ?
Okay.
Moment of love, dream
alive. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Oh, AJ.
Yeah, no.
A kiss, a cry, our rights are wrong.
A kiss, a cry, our rights are wrong. Come on.
Come on, people.
Come on.
Sabrina!
Let's do one more.
Sabrina!
Line five is... I haven't even put her on...
Sabrina!
Wait, you're...
Hi, Sabrina. Are you
yelling
excited?
As if you're stuck in a burning building and she's your only survival tip.
Sabrina, I mean, are you excited?
Hi, yes, I'm excited.
All right, you're a student at Fullerton College. Go Wolverines!
Are you the Wolverines?
No. Is it the Titans? Yeah. I thought it was Titans.
Go Titans! Okay. All right, Sabrina, we're going to play a little piece of the Black Keys, Tighten Up. Are you familiar with that song?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to play a little piece. When the music stops, you keep singing, okay?
Okay.
All right. Take my badge, but my heart remains loving you,
baby child. Because most of all, oh, damn it.
You said you knew it!
later.
She's familiar with the song.
Doesn't mean she knows every word.
I'm so wildly disappointed in you, Sabrina.
Oh, Sabrina, thank you for playing and thank you for trying.
All right, just two people in the drawing. John, our emergency medical technician, and Lindsay, she's a high school student. She did a great job. Both of these kids did a great, great job, and I'm wishing you both an equal amount of luck.
All right.
Can we do
the drawing?
Absolutely, Lisa. Right. Why don't you reach your hand into your newsy hat and pull out a name?
And the name is... John!
John!
Yay! Our first contestant, John.
Hello.
Congratulations, EMT.
Oh, excellent.
You will be in the pit for night number two of the Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Oh, my God.
And
have fun.
Say hi to Wayne when you're there. Thank you, Wayne.
I was saying goodbye, and you guys played that theme right over me.
Okay, let's go back.
Okay.
Rewind it.
Goodbye, everybody.
All right.
Don't forget the Sing and Be lyrics.
Lisa, man, I know how much you love our next guest, Paul Bettany, who's on the phone, but I'm just telling you, if he were here, that hat that you're wearing would be complete birth control to him. I mean,
hat hate?
I think Lisa looks cute in the hat.
I'm saying with the hat, he would never look at you. I'm saying the hat.
I'm saying the hat isn't working.
Because the hat's too attractive is what Bean means.
Oh, okay.
But Paul Bettany is working, and he is back in a new film that opens up everywhere Friday, December 10th, called The Tourist. It just looks unbelievable. Paul, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, how are you? Did you miss me?
We did.
We did miss you. We're big fans of yours, as you know. And I got to tell you, it took me a minute to even realize that you were in this movie, because when Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie are in a film, usually that's all you need to know. But my God, you, Rufus Sewell, Timothy Dalton, what a cast this thing has.
Yeah, we had to we had to prop the film up because of the sad lack of stars.
Sure. Yeah, if all you have is Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp,
I know, and who are they?
Right,
exactly. You know, they're great actors is the main thing about them, and that's why they're so successful. But they come with such superstardom that is it a little bit weird doing a movie? Is it different doing a movie when you've got people like that the paparazzi are all over and everything else?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was really conscious of the fact when we all met that it was the first Paul Bettany movie that they'd both been in. So I tried to put them at their ease, you know.
It's nice. It's nice of you to notice that they might be a little uncomfortable and try to straighten it out for them.
Sure, I just wanted to present to them a really normal human being.
Sure.
Very nice. Now, you are the man in this movie, right? You're the cop who's looking for Johnny Depp. Do I have that right?
That's right. Yeah, I'm a cop for whom everything's always gone right. He's like the star detective, and he always gets his guy except for this time. And he's been chasing this man, Alexander Pierce, for years, and he's spent about £8 million of tax. What's that? That's about $12 million of taxpayers' money, and he's just about to get him. And into that world walks this buffoon played by Johnny Depp, who just ruins everything for me. So I'm like Elmer Fudd, really.
First Elmer Fudd reference on the Kevin and Bean Show in a long time. Yeah, I got to be honest. Yeah. Now, where'd you guys shoot this in Europe? Because the clips that I've seen on the TV, it looks beautiful.
We shot it in Venice and Paris, which, as you know, are slums.
Sure.
Yeah. It was so beautiful. I can't tell you. It was. I would be lying to you if I said it wasn't a big reason for me taking the job.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I love Italy, and it was. You know, I tell you what. It's really relaxing for an actor like me to be working in Venice, because if you're being boring or dull or whatever on screen, there's always something really beautiful for people to look at behind you.
Right. Oh, I see.
No kidding.
Sure.
Takes the pressure off.
Most actors will say that, I don't know, you know, they read the script and they liked it, or a director's attached right. that they like, or, you know, the actors.
Yeah, they were all right, but really it was Venice.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. You'd have worked at a hardware store if it was in Venice, right?
That's right.
We are talking to actor Paul Bettany. The film is called The Tourist. I think we have a clip. Kevin, do we need to set this up at all?
This is when your character is talking to Johnny Depp, and Johnny Depp is just trying to convince you that he's just an innocent American and he doesn't know anything that's going on in this world.
Help. Hello? Por favor? Who are you people? Where are we going?
Well, I don't know. Alexander, where are we going?
I'm not Alexander. My name is Frank Tupelo. I'm an American citizen and I have rights.
I don't care what you call yourself these days. Your name is Alexander Pierce and you have no rights. Until you pay us £744 million back taxes.
£744 million.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Okay. All right.
Paul is a bad man.
Yeah.
No, Paul's a good man.
Paul is a good man. That's what I meant.
The Tourist does look awesome. Hey, I wanted to ask you one other thing, Paul, since we have you on the phone. I don't know if you have seen it. I know you're not on the Twitter yourself, but your old friend Russell Crowe is trying to get a Master and Commander sequel going. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't heard anything about it.
He is tweeting that he is interested in doing it, and if the fans want to do it, he's encouraging them to contact the studio, to contact Fox, and there's a specific guy that he calls out and says, let's try to get this thing going. I was wondering if, I guess you hadn't heard about it, but I wonder if you had any thoughts on revisiting
But perhaps he has another idea for a better actor.
Oh, I see.
If they shoot it in Venice, Paul's in.
Oh, yeah, shoot it in Venice.
That's all.
What Paul is saying is, yeah, I'd go see that.
Sure.
Yeah, I tell you what, Johnny does this really great, you hear it in that, he does this really great joke, and it's his joke that goes the whole way through the movie, which is, he's in Venice, which is in Italy, obviously, for anybody who hasn't looked at a map, and he speaks Spanish the whole way through it. It's beautiful. It's a great joke. joke.
Hilarious. Well, we can't wait to see this one, man. It really, really looks good, and it's always great to have you on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're so happy to get a chance to talk to you. I hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday season, Paul.
Thanks, mate. You too.
Thanks. Tourist is the name of the movie. It comes out Friday.
Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up, including tickets for True Grit to give away on today's show, plus the Ask a Mexican Christmas edition, holiday edition, with our friend Gustavo Arellano is coming up in a few minutes, too, on the Kevin DeBean Show. By the way, KevinDeBean.com continues to deliver. We got some great stuff up here today. Picture of the day. I don't know if you saw it or not yet, Kevin, but it's actually a Santa Claus helicopter. So Wing is going to be so happy when she sees this. You have to see the picture
of the day. Yeah, she's right. She was right about that.
Ralph managed to get his hands on an interview with Kevin DeBean from about 15 years ago on a local TV station. A, boy, have we aged poorly over the years. B, boy, were we not funny then as now. But you got to check that out at KevinDeBean.com. And you could also see the video for Fred Snyder's new Fruitcake song, which you're going to love.
Oh, God, that's unbelievable.
And you could also vote to get Psycho Mike a television job filling in for Regis Philbin on the Regis and Kelly show. Now, what the hell is this about? I don't like anybody filling in for Regis. Regis is the only reason I watch that show. What are you doing, Mike?
I guess this is odd. Just so that people understand, Bean's serious when he says Regis is the reason. Bean watches that show and has mentioned many times, not joking, that Regis Philbin is one of his top three favorite celebrities.
Yeah,
Weird Al Yankovic, Regis, and
William Shatner. And Adam West. Those are my top four.
All right, so he's really, and so we said, hey, they're looking for men in radio. They want somebody to replace Regis for a day, a week. I don't know what it is. And so we said, Bean, you should do it. And he said, no, I would do it if I could do it with Regis, but not Kelly.
If I could fill in for Kelly, absolutely.
The only reason I'd want to go to that studio to be a part of that show is to be near Regis.
Right.
I don't understand.
Which is odd because Regis is going to be out. Kelly's there. She's a hot chick.
Yeah.
Right, but Regis is the man. Now, what's your motivation, Mike? Just to be more famous? Is that why you want to do it?
No, I mean, I think it would be funny, and it would be very fun to do it.
Sure.
And
to do it poorly.
And I'm the only guy in radio who looks exactly like a younger version of Kelly Ripa's husband, so I figured that will be bode well for me.
That'll help.
And I think it would be great for the Kevin and Bean Show and for Loveline. Yeah.
So you go to the post, and then it says, click here to elect me to be co-host, and then you can vote. Is that how it works, voting?
Well, it's like a template there that links you to a template, and you nominate different people who are men of radio to fill in for Regis. So it's a really like an open-ended form that you could fill out for anybody who you like in radio.
So you put in their name and what they work on and why you nominate them.
Correct.
I see. And then basically somebody at the show goes through everybody across the country who's nominated, and then they select from that a few people to probably audition or something to come out and do the show, right?
Yeah, I would imagine. I think they do this every year when Regis takes his vacation, but they use a different occupation. You know, like it's the men of firemen, the men of military.
They did Women of Radio a long time ago, and with that they interviewed each of them, I think on the phone maybe. On the air before they actually pick someone.
But do they know about Mike's problems?
Well, this is what I wanted to ask, because in the post at KevinDeBean.com, and there's a link there, you can actually nominate Mike to be the co-host with Kelly. He talks about it would be a ton of fun. It would be entertaining to have me on the show and ask Kelly Ripa to light my farts on fire. You can't put something like that in the post, though, and expect them to look at that and go, yeah, this is the guy we want on our network.
No, that's my ultimate goal, is to just get the blue flame on national television. If I could somehow light my own farts on fire on national TV, then I could retire.
But follow this, if you would.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The way to get on the show is not to say that.
I can't sell out, buddy.
You keep that quiet. You don't have to sell out. You keep it quiet, and then you spring it on.
I don't want to sell...
Somebody hit the lights!
I don't want to spring it on them.
I don't want to sell Live and Regis a false bag of goods. I don't want to pretend that my goal isn't to light farts on fire and to hopefully...
But what I'm saying is they're not going to pick you if they think, here's the kid who wants to light his farts on fire. Your obsession with your ass has gotten out of control, Mike.
All right. It
happened again this morning. It's not just I want to light my farts on fire. Now your obsession with your butt, and I'm sorry to be so graphic here, but Mike is still 2 years old when it comes to his fascination with poop. It has gotten to the point now where it's affecting your job. Am I right, Kevin?
Well, here's what happened. About a half hour ago, we were doing a game, and Omar came walking in. And Omar is not our in-studio producer. He's in another studio, and he does production in there. Mike is our in-studio producer. Mike's gone. Mike went to the bathroom. Okay, so Omar shows up, and he goes, I have to be here because Mike's in the bathroom. And it was like 3 minutes to go. Like, the song still had 3 minutes left. So I said, there's still 3 minutes. And he said, he called Dave, the King of Mexico, from the bathroom. Got out of the cell phone from the bathroom, which is couple of steps from the office? Is
maybe
that the one?
7 feet, yeah.
7 feet from the office. Got on his cell phone, called Dave, and said, I think you're going to need Omar to fill in for this next break because I'm not going to be done yet.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He made that call.
Did you destroy that bathroom?
It's like an Indian rainmaker when he can sense a big storm's a brewing.
So Omar came in, and we did the entire contest. And
no
Mike was just straight up disrespecting the toilet.
There was destruction going on. I came back in with about a minute left in the game, sweating. I just done bad. My knuckles were bleeding for some reason.
But here's my question, though. I mean, can't you regulate yourself so that
you get it done in the amount of time that you have?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that I've ever had.
Or the big events happen elsewhere?
I don't. Yes, perhaps. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. If you know that there's going to be some time taken.
No, look.
Can't you schedule that like when you get home or?
Yeah. Even once a Mustang's been broken, Kevin. Every once in a while, it's still wild.
But here's my whole thing.
I have no idea what that means.
Here's my whole thing. I think Mike gets into the toilet and he's having such a great time because he loves poop so much. He's just enjoying himself. He's like, look, I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to rush it. This is one of those magic moments that I want to savor. I'm in no rush to get back in there and be Kevin and Bean's monkey. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to have fun.
No, typically like the joyous moments I have on the toilet, I save those for non-work time.
That's what I'm saying.
I interpreted the first 2 minutes of my battle to be something.
battle?
I bit off more than I could chew. I sat down and said, uh-oh, we have problems here.
It was a battle?
It was a battle.
Wow.
You know every once in a while it's a battle.
Wow.
So here's my point.
My point is,
I know the toilet loses. I know that.
My point is click here to nominate me.
It's really a war with no winners.
My point is click here to nominate me. I'm saying, if you're going to be the co-host on that show,
they should reinforce the toilets at the studio.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. Okay. I'm saying they might not be as understanding and find it funny like we do. Perhaps if you're supposed to be on camera and you're in the bathroom making a cell phone call saying, I'm not going to make it for
because
I'm having a struggle.
Hey, rip, I pull my finger. Doesn't fly.
I'm saying there are ways to get jobs and there are ways to not get jobs. Hold off on the blue flame talk until you get the job.
Dutch oven?
Hold off.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to try and fake like you're normal. Say yes, and then they get you in all of your glory.
Stink finger? No good?
No.
Okay. Let me put it another way, Mike, and then we got to take a break. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up here. When you meet a girl, you don't lead with, hey, I'm a felon. Hey, I'm in rehab. Hey, I killed my mom. You don't lead with any of that stuff because you want to get to know them, get them to like you for other stuff first before you bring up the bad stuff. Your calling card shouldn't be, hey, I'm all about poop. That's what I'm saying. Ixnay on the arts fay comedy and play it straight until you get the job. That's my advice to you.
All right. Well,
and then once you get the job, then you can bring the pain.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I'm saying?
So you're saying work the body a little bit before you come with the widowmaker.
Then you
all
set
right.
it up.
I got you guys. All right.
Couple of jabs first, and then you knock them. All right? So work on that. Go to kevinandbean.com. You can vote for Mike. Write him in.
Don't mention the poo.
Don't mention that stuff.
Right.
But it'll happen, and it'll be sweet.
Lisa, pull my finger.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:55.
Ask a
Mexican. We have a winner, believe it or not.
What? Ask a Mexican, the holiday edition with Gustavo Arellano coming up next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph Garman is here. And hey, Ralph, don't you have something to give away today?
Why, yes, I do, Bean.
And what would that be?
It would be passes for the advanced screening of
True Grit.
Yay!
Happens on December the 14th at the Arclight in Hollywood. A better film this year, are you going to see?
I don't know.
Maybe not. Okay. Why am I talking like Yoda?
Don't know.
I have no idea.
But I'll tell you something.
Great.
It looks great, and you can't pick a better theater to watch a movie in than the Arclight. Yeah. It really may be my favorite theater in the world. Grauman's Chinese Theater is pretty exciting, too, in Hollywood. But the Arclight is just so...
I go to the one by my house because you can pick your seat.
Yeah, I love that.
The Sherman Oaks Arclight?
Yes.
Yeah, you can do it at Hollywood, too. You can pre-purchase your seat and pick your location. It's like buying concert tickets. And they have a full bar there.
Yeah, there's that.
So good. So I will be there. Come join me December the 14th at the Arclight in Hollywood. Sadly, I will have to miss the radio station Christmas party in order to attend.
Ralph!
Yeah. But those are so fun.
I know. Somehow I'm going to have to to forego the pigs in the blankets and the $7 no-host bar.
But those are in the middle of the afternoon with no dates allowed to come.
So instead, I'll be at the Arclight in Hollywood seeing True Grit with you. If you're one of the first five callers to get through at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First five callers get through, get a pair of passes to join me to see True Grit. True Grit, by the way, in case you don't win, is in theaters everywhere December the 22nd for the Christmas weekend. So it's going to be a good time because Jeff Bridges is one of my favorite actors in the entire world.
I don't know anything about that movie, but that John Wayne was in it.
The basic premise is there is a little girl whose father is killed by some evil men, mm-hmm. and she decides to take it upon herself to go seek revenge. And so she enlists the aid of an aging federal marshal named Rooster Cogburn, played by Jeff Bridges in this film. It was John Wayne in the original.
Right.
And a younger sort of bumbling marshal as well, played by Glenn Campbell in the original.
Wow.
And Matt Damon plays him in this one. So that's an upgrade right there. So I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Sounds good.
Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Britney Spears did her Christmas shopping this weekend. This week, rather. You can see photos of her shopping at TMZ.com. Let's see, where would Britney Spears go shopping? If I was Britney Spears, if I was Louisiana white trash who ate a lot of Cheetos and walked around in gas station bathrooms barefoot, where would I be shopping?
Is it eliminating gas stations?
Eliminating gas stations. She's not at the AMPM picking up trucker heads for everyone.
Clarify.
Although that would be an excellent guess. No, this is a large retail
chain. I'm going to say, I got it. I know it. The Hustler store on Sunset.
That's another excellent guess. Mm. But no, in fact, she was rolling deep at Walmart.
Yeah.
This week.
Oh, sure.
And the photos are magical, not only because Ms. Spears has her white trash self there checking out the goods at Walmart, but the photos of the people behind her who are shopping at Walmart are magical. TMZ's got a photo of her shopping, and there is I think it's a dude who's got to be weighing in at, I don't know, 870 pounds or so.
Wow.
On one of those little rascal scooters as they drive around there in the Walmart.
And does it look like it's crying for help, the little rascal?
Yeah. It's got stress fractures throughout its frame. And just she's surrounded by her people. She is just in her element there.
She's at
Walmart.
Home.
She is magical.
Yeah.
There's that whole website, thepeopleofwalmart.com, does nothing but put up photos of shoppers at Walmart.
They're pretty magical.
They're all beautiful.
I recommend you check out the photos because they're very enjoyable. Our buddy Patton Oswalt's in the news. God bless him.
Love him
so much. One of the funniest mother effers on the planet, that Patton Oswalt.
And genuinely a good guy.
And a great, great guy.
Has trouble keeping up with his schedule. Other than that, though, he's a great guy.
He is.
Not the most reliable guest to book on a radio show.
Sometimes, but usually good. Yeah.
When he's here, he's
more
great.
More often than not, he's here on time and does the job.
I'd say 60%.
He's raising some money for the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank, which is a very worthy cause. Of course, they feed people, especially during the holiday season when...
Well, food is the best food.
Food is the best food. He is making a very special auction. He's got something up on eBay that only 75 of these exist in the world.
Wow.
He is auctioning off his of this collection. And it's very impressive that he is doing this. And I don't know if I would have the wherewithal to be able to part with this item.
What
I know
it?
Bean wouldn't. When Carvel Ice Cream was celebrating their 75th birthday, they gave out cards to 75 celebrities who they thought enjoyed their ice cream. And it is free ice cream for 75 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Basically, free ice cream for life with this card that you have.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
You can eat up to $25 worth of ice cream every day for the rest of your life. At Carvel Ice Cream.
You have to do this, Kevin.
It's like a credit card. It's like a credit card. You show it, you eat free ice cream every day for the next 75 years.
But can somebody else use Patton Oswalt's card, though? Is that allowed? Are you allowed to transfer it?
Patton has contacted Carvel's management, and he got approval to transfer the ownership of the card to the top bidder at the eBay auction. It's up for auction on eBay. It's about 5 days left in the auction. Top bid is already closing in around $1,000 for this card.
Wow.
Well, look, if you can eat $25 worth of ice cream every day for the rest of your life, it's
which
a bargain.
Which you won't, by the way. Which you won't.
Which
right,
you might.
Let's say you do $25 worth of ice cream a week you're getting for free.
Sure.
It's a bargain.
I agree.
It's a bargain, people.
What are you saying?
It's a bargain. And it goes to a great cause.
Yeah.
So if you're interested, you can go to eBay, type in Patton Oswalt, Carvel, and it'll pop up, and you can win his free ice cream for 75 years card.
He is a better man than I.
He is a much better.
I would
better.
Never part with that.
Keep in mind, the card does expire on 12/84. So you got to use it before then. You got to use it before then.
Before
12/84, 2084.
Bad news for you, Kevin. Current bid, $4,999.
Wow, look at that.
Wow.
It's already shooting up there.
All right, I'm not bidding on that.
We should try to get Patton on the show to talk about it.
Yeah, we should.
Because it's a great cause, and it's a cool item. I wonder who else has them. Only 75 people in the world have them. I wonder what other celebrities have them.
You did a story in the showbiz earlier this year about somebody, remember, who was cut off or got busted for using it too much or giving it to other people that weren't supposed to be using it.
For using it too much, you're supposed to be able to use it all you want.
I think this person was sharing
loaning
the card
out
too much to other people, right?
Ah.
You did this story, but I can't remember who the celebrity was. It was somebody we were happy to see in trouble.
Is it Precious?
It might have been Precious.
Gabourey Sidibe.
Was it Dina Lohan?
Sure,
maybe?
She wasn't.
Wasn't it
yet.
Dina Lohan? It was Lindsay's card.
Maybe
or something?
It was
Dina. Maybe it was Dina cheating.
So
the
Lindsay
Carvel
was
people.
one of the celebrities, I guess.
Yeah.
It'd be fun, though. You're right to see the list of who else got it.
Lindsay would come in and snort cookies and cream. Apparently, she would melt it and cut lines of cookies and cream and snort it.
Allegedly,
no, she did.
No, that was proven. That's science.
I saw it with my own eyes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kim Basinger is 57 years old today. Actress Terry Hatcher celebrates her 46th birthday. Sinead O'Connor is 44 years old today. Every time I hear Sinead O'Connor, I can't help but think back to the old Saturday Night Live sketch with Phil Hartman, God bless him, who did a great Sinatra. He had a running bit on Saturday Night Live where he would play Sinatra. And they did one skit. It was like Sinatra's Clubhouse on some like parody TV show where he had other guests on, other celebrities. And Jan Hooks played Sinead O'Connor, and every time he referred to her, he called her by a different name. Sinbad O'Connor. Sinead O'Connor. He just gave her different names every time. Always made me laugh. Philip Rivers of your San Diego Superchargers is 29 years old today. Someone by the way sent me an email blaming you guys for the Chargers season because Philip Rivers was on the show. Kevin and Bean curse.
You got to blame somebody if you lose to the Raiders.
It's true.
Dominic Monaghan and co-host Ian Somerhalder both celebrate their birthdays today. And Orlando Magic center Dwight Howard is 25 years old today.
Woo.
Keeping with a sports theme, I'm Ralph Garman. He's a talented guy.
Yeah.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz.
Ladies and gentlemen, time to Ask a Mexican.
Mexican Americans don't like to get up early.
I'm on a Mexican radio.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Gustavo, how are you, my friend?
Good. ¿Qué tal?
Not too much.
To you
not
too.
We've been having Gustavo Arellano for many years as Ask a Mexican, which is the title of a column that is nationally syndicated. He's turned it into a book, and at some point it has to be a TV show, let's face it.
No comment.
Interesting.
Oh, all right. So
Gustavo is the guy, if you've ever heard us do Ask a Police Officer or Ask a Pilot or whatever, he's the guy we rip the idea off of, because it's always interesting to have experts on a subject that you've always wanted to ask questions about. And, you know, let's face it, we're all fascinated with Mexicans. They're fascinating people.
We are.
And that's why we have Gustavo in to answer your questions. Now, I understand it's the holiday edition of Ask a Mexican today. Does that mean we are going to be talking about this time of year and how important it is to your people?
Yeah, and let's not forget there's also Mexican Jews. So there's a Mexican Hanukkah. There's Mexican Muslims. There's Mexicans who actually think the Abrahamic religions are a crock of you-know-what. So they actually practice Aztec tradition. So whatever crisp holiday questions may have, please ask them to me.
There can't be a lot of Mexican Jews.
There can't be a lot of Mexican Muslims.
Really?
What
did I hear? I think Mexico City, I think, is one of the largest Jewish cities in the Americas. In the Americas.
Nope.
Nope.
Yeah. No?
I'm saying no. You're the expert, but I say no. I refuse to believe that.
I think 500,000 Jews live in Mexico City.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What?
A big number. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's
crazy.
No, it's beautiful.
But we're going to need to source that. You're the expert. Again, you're the expert, but I don't buy it.
So we're gonna take your calls. If you have any questions about the Mexican holidays, we want to hear from you. And I'd be particularly interested if you are a Mexican and you want to share some of the traditions in your family that have been passed down from ancestors. And so we can talk about those a little bit and learn a little bit about how you celebrate. You can call us at 1-800-520-1067. Is there anything particularly Mexican about the way you –
celebrate Christmas or whatever holiday you're into, Gustavo?
All Mexicans, for Christmas time, you have what's called a tamalada, where all the women, never the men, of course, all the women get together and make tamales all day, or tamales, however you want to pronounce it, all day. And then usually, well, what happens is you usually eat them all, not all of them, but you start eating them on Christmas Eve. But the great thing is that every single woman in a particular family has their own tamalada, and every woman also makes their own types of tamales. So my mom, she makes really good ones of queso con rajas, cheese with jalapeno strips that you saute, then you put them into the tamale.
Oh, so there's a lot of different ways to make it.
Oh, yeah. You have chile, queso con rajas. You have dessert tamales. Either make them with pineapple, make them with strawberry, make them with raisins and coconut.
It's sort of the Mexican version of crepes, in a way.
Exactly. It's a Mexican version of passing along fruitcake to each other, except we actually want to pass along these. Exactly. It's good. We want to pass along these tamales. And so what you'll have then for about a month and a half, you eat nothing but tamales. And this is when Mexican employees become like the favorite employees of bosses, because they'll come into offices and like, hey, who wants tamales? And everyone all of a sudden starts paying attention to the Mexican in the corner office.
That they ignored for the
last
11 months.
Yeah, give them a raise, for crying out loud.
Now, how about the myth of gift giving? Is Mexico into Santa Claus, or do they have a different tradition?
Well, Mexicans, no, we're not in Santa Claus. That's an American tradition, although the tradition has gone down to Mexico over the years. We call him Papa Noel, you know, Father Noel. But usually what happens with Mexicans, we have something even better called Las Posadas. Las Posadas is for, I think the 2 weeks preceding Christmas Eve, every night you'll have children pretending or following the footsteps of Mary and Joseph as they're trying to find lodging in Bethlehem. So they'll go in a neighborhood from door to door asking for lodging. After all that's done, then you have this big feast. Imagine that, 2 weeks worth of it. Here in the United States, you usually just do it once, but at least in Mexico, in the little villages, you'll do that for 2 weeks. I think it's called Epiphany in Catholicism, in American Catholicism.
So people, they get their, they sit there and their door, somebody knocks on their door like 200 times in a night?
No. Well, you'll have everybody all together as a procession. And yeah, you knock and you'll say, no, you can't come in. You can't come in. And every house has the obligation of hosting a party one night. And it's a beautiful thing.
For I see.
The kids love it because they dress up as shepherds, as angels.
Wow, that's neat.
Never even heard of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Posada. So it's happening all around Southern California right now as we speak.
So here's the thing about Gustavo Arellano, and here's the reason I love having him on, is because half the time I think he's in here to entertain and enlighten. And the other half of the time, I think he's making bets with his coworkers. Yep, let's see what I can get Kevin and Bean to believe. I'm going to tell him it's a tradition for 6,000 years, and I'm going to make it up on the spot.
No, this was not 6,000.
Let's see what those stupid gringos will buy.
Gabachos. But, no, Las Posadas obviously came in with the Catholic traditions, not with the Aztecs. This is just a strictly Catholic thing. And, of course, Mexican Jews, they celebrate Hanukkah. They're lighting, I think... I'm not a Jew, so I think the lights were already lit or something like that. Mm-hmm. The menorah, you know the menorah.
That sounds just lazy to me.
They light another one each night.
Yeah. So Mexican candle. Jews do that. And then the best thing are those crypto Jews that have been lighting the menorah in their household for centuries, even though they practice the Catholic faith, but they don't know why they light them like candles, and it's because their ancestors were Jews, but they had to hide it from the Mexican Catholics.
Interesting.
So they won't stop?
No, it's been a tradition, and they've been doing it for generations, and they forgot why they started doing it. There's a lot of these crypto Jews in New Mexico, because what happened was you had all these Jews come into Mexico. Of course, the Inquisition came about and started burning up all the Jews. So a lot of those Jews went up to New Mexico, and they kept their traditions, but ostensibly they were Catholic, so they wouldn't be burned at the stake.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Author and columnist Gustavo Arellano is our guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the holiday edition of Ask a Mexican. If you have a question about the holidays this time of year in the Mexican or Mexican-American community, want to hear from you, or if you want to share your traditions, we'll take your calls to 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean.
Mexican-Americans don't like to get up early. I'm
on Mexican radio. Did somebody order Mexican?
Our friend, nuestro amigo Gustavo Arellano is in on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Sorry. Yeah.
I can't speak Spanish. You guys know that. He is the best-selling author and columnist of Ask a Mexican. He's got a YouTube channel called Ask a Mexicano, and we're talking about holiday traditions in the Mexican and Mexican-American community today. You were talking about tamales a minute ago.
Yeah.
Before the break, and we are going to go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Jason writes in, you know why Mexicans really have tamales for Christmas? It's so they have something to unwrap. Now, that's just ugly. That's just, nobody needs that.
That's one of the all-time great ethnic jokes, I think, in the United States. It's a beautiful, honestly, it's a beautiful joke. It's one of those jokes that It's not true, of course, but it gets repeated again and again just because it's so simple. I will challenge Jason, though, to make a new Mexican Christmas ethnic slur joke. So, you know, try to make something else.
Yeah. Why make a new one? That one is so effective.
That's true.
Let's talk to Oscar real quick. He's on line three. He's got a question about which I know nothing. Oscar, congratulations. Thanks for calling in. You're on with Gustavo. Go ahead.
Morning, guys. I had a quick question. When I was a kid, I remember my mom always used to tell me to place an orange in a shoe above my head. Mm-hmm. And every morning, I would wake up, there was money inside of it. And I remember asking a lot of people what that tradition was all about, and someone said it was something to do with Dia de los Magos or something like that.
Dia de los Magos. Wow, man, you're a big bocho. It's Dia de los Reyes Magos. The magical kings, the three wise kings, is it three wise men or three wise kings? I'm a bad Catholic.
We call them the men, right?
The men, exactly. So the tradition then is you put out your shoes, usually during Christmas, but through the Christmas holidays, but all the way up until I think it's January 6th, the Feast of Advent, and you leave it there for the three wise kings, or the three kings who, at least according to the Bible, went and paid their homage to Jesus. So you're basically feeding them an orange, some snacks.
And they really love oranges.
Exactly. Okay. Well, Mexicans and oranges, especially here in Orange County,
that's true.
You're talking to the grandson of an orange picker. And of course, the shoes are meant to symbolize the passage, the long journey that the three wise men took to go from their different countries to Bethlehem to pay their homage to Jesus.
Now, how often does it happen? You put an orange in your shoe every night?
Some people do. Some people just leave their shoes there until January 6th, I believe the date is, and then that's when you put the food, and then that's when you get presents. In fact, traditionally in Mexico, you wouldn't open your Christmas presents on Christmas. You'd wait until the feast day of the three wise men.
That's BS. Right?
Well, it's a delayed Christmas. You know, Mexicans always have to delay their pleasure because we're not impetuous people at all, by any sense of the imagination.
You're not timely. You're not known for your timeliness.
mañana, right.
Let's try Eddie, line six. I don't know if this question flies in the face of the discussion we were just having, but Eddie, hi, you're on with Gustavo. Go ahead.
What's up, guys?
Hi.
My question is, why is it that Mexicans celebrate Christmas Eve? They do the whole day up till midnight, open presents, and then do nothing Christmas Day.
The reason why is because most Mexicans, if they're celebrating Christmas, ostensibly they're Catholic. So Mexicans have a tradition of going to midnight mass. It's called Misa de Gallo, rooster's mass, because a rooster crows at midnight. And so you have to stay up. You know, you have to stay up to be able to go to mass at midnight. You can't just sleep and then expect to get up at 11:30 and get ready. So it's better to just feast the entire evening, the entire night. You go to Misa de Gallo, then you come back, you open your presents,
and then
you leave.
The end.
And then ta-da.
And then you eat tamales the next day.
And then from there, you just go visit different family members. You interchange Christmas presents. So it's like we're celebrating, between Las Posadas all the way up to Advent, to the Dia de los Reyes Magos. Mexicans celebrate about 3 to 4 weeks of Christmas.
Wow.
Maybe we all are crypto Jews in
That's
that
fantastic.
Way.
Fantastic.
That is a good deal.
Wow.
Let's do one more. Let's do Joe. Joe's on line one. Joe, thank you for calling. You're on with Gustavo. Go ahead.
Hi. Do you know what is the meaning of the marathon Guadalupe Reyes?
Guadalupe Reyes? Well, Guadalupe is the Virgen de Guadalupe, and how could we forget our Christmas season without mentioning the feast day of the Virgen de Guadalupe? So that's
the Virgin.
The Virgin of Guadalupe. I always call her Virgen de Guadalupe. So that's, I'm such a bad Catholic. It's going after all those pedophile priests that has made me like this. But the feast day of the Virgin Guadalupe is either 14th or 15th, probably the 15th. So you go there, early morning mass. Reyes, I'm not sure. I mean, that could be the name of a guy, Guadalupe Reyes, for all I know. Or where have you heard it?
It's actually because I am Mexican, and they call it a marathon that you start drinking on the day of the Guadalupe, December 12th, and you stop drinking.
The 12th.
You have to drink every day, and you stop drinking on Dia de Reyes, which is January.
So you drink for a month straight?
I thought we drank straight every day of the year.
Wow.
Yeah, go figure.
It's Christmas every day if you're Mexican, apparently.
December 12th all the way through January 6th. Yeah, that's even longer than Hanukkah, actually.
Wow.
Can we convert
to
Mexican?
Sure. You're all honorary Mexicans here. I deem you as the Pope of Mexicans, honorary Mexicans.
How do you convert to Mexican? That's a great question.
You marry one.
All right. I did, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's correct.
You're a good man.
Gustavo, so glad to have you back in today. Thank you so much for being on the Kevin and Bean Show all these years. I'm sure we'll continue again in 2011. So you're working on your book, and what, you think sometime next year your book on Mexican food across America is coming out?
It's either going to be fall of next year or probably Cinco de Mayo 2012, either or. It's a one that once I actually nail that monster down, then I'll be able to do it. But I'm doing updates all the time on my Facebook page. So if you type in Ask a Mexican, you could be my fan, and I'm posting pictures of my exploits. Like recently, really quickly, I ate the legendary Hollenbeck burrito at El Tepeyac in Boyle Heights, which is a burrito that, geez, it's like two forearms put together.
Two forearms.
God. It's humongous for $8.
Wow.
You have
was
to
it
go.
Good?
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Really?
El Tepeyac.
But is it one
East
of those challenging things where most people can't finish?
No.
Not at
well,
all.
I finished it.
You could
it.
Share it.
Yeah. You could easily share it. But it's humongous. El Tepeyac in Boyle Heights. You could Google it. Manuel del Tepeyac. Humongously good.
Why are you not hugely fat if you've been writing this book on Mexican food for the last year?
The stress of death threats and lawsuits. and my normal day job as an investigative reporter.
All good right, times.
Great answer. Gustavo, Feliz Navidad to you. Thank you for coming
prospero
in.
Año Nuevo.
106.7 K-Rock is KRQ. Sandra Gutierrez from Glendale got tickets for night number two for listening to that song and being the 21st caller. It is 8:42.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Got more chances for you to win tickets for the Oval Acoustic Christmas Concert coming up after the top of the hour. Did Kevin just ask the question, what was the name of that movie about an American president?
Yes. Off the air, yes. That was the American president? Yes.
And the reason you bring it up is because Michael Douglas started that movie as a president who was trying to date. He was single. Now, that's not something that happens very often in real life. I think we've only had one bachelor president in the United States. But there is a president of a country in Africa who's been making the news lately. He runs Botswana. And he apparently is a very eligible bachelor there. And he is looking for ladies. But he has some very specific rules about the women that he will date.
Yeah, and it's bizarre because you can't fathom for a second President Obama saying anything like this if he was single. But listen to this news report. It comes from ABC about the president of Botswana.
The president of Botswana is looking for a wife, but fat women need not apply.
Fat women need not apply. He's putting the word out.
Wow.
I want a wife, but she can't be fat.
Couldn't he just eliminate them from the choice ones?
Kama has some special requirements. She must be tall and slim in a country where most women are short and heavy set. To drive the point home at a recent political meeting.
All right, now here's where it gets good. So now he wants to clarify who he wants and who he doesn't want for a wife. And he sees the assistant minister of local government, who is a short, fat woman.
All right.
In a political meeting, he points to her and says, like her, I don't want her.
Kama pointed to one woman and said, I don't want one like this one. She may fail to pass through the door, breaking furniture with her heavy weight, and even break the vehicle's shock absorbers.
Wow, how fat is she?
Oh, my God.
It doesn't matter. In what world does a president say that?
Look, you can't complain that politicians aren't honest enough and then come down on this guy for speaking the truth, right?
But I'm just saying that a lot of times you think things and perhaps it's better to keep them to yourselves, even if that's how you operate.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to point somebody out in public like her. She would probably not even be able to get through the door.
Poor thing.
President Kama is 57 years old. He has never been married, but he obviously has created a firestorm of controversy with these comments, and we thought we would invite him on the program. It's a real thrill to have the leader of a country on the Kevin and Bean Show as a guest. Mr. President, welcome.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you doing?
We're very good. How are you?
I'm very good today. Thank you very much for having me on your radio program that flies through the air.
Absolutely.
Well, we are delighted to. So, you kind of stepped in it a little bit with your comments the other day.
I don't believe so.
You don't believe?
I believe I was just being honest and telling the people what I'm looking for in a mate and wife.
Right. But don't you think it's kind of insulting, though, to point out a particular person in your government and say, I don't want a fat one like her? I mean, wouldn't that hurt her feelings?
No, I'm just using example of what I do not want in wife.
Right.
Which is big, fatty, fat.
Right. But what we're saying is if you point to a human being in the room and say you doubt she could get through the door.
It's humiliating.
I was just driving home my point.
Right. I think everyone got your point.
I don't think they were understanding what I don't like.
So if
I don't like fatty.
So if she does get through the door, then she gets in the car and breaks the shocks.
Yes. There's possibility she crushed the furniture with her giant ass.
Okay.
Or the vehicle shock absorbers may be tested by her enormous girth.
Okay. Okay. In America, Mr. President, and I mean no offense here, sir, that would be considered a sexist and inappropriate remark.
It's not sexist. It's fattest.
Fattest? Okay.
Don't like fatty fat fat.
Okay.
Don't want to have sex with that. Don't want to marry that.
Right.
Okay.
Would like them dead.
Okay. What? Well, I don't know. You're not really saying dead.
They scared the livestock.
What are you talking about?
The fat women scared the livestock. They walk with such impact makes earthquakes.
Okay, listen.
And that makes the caribou and the yaks run.
Okay. You're just piling on.
The earthquakes. And also, many of them can blot out the sun.
That
kills the crops because the no more sun can reach the crops to make them grow.
That is okay. Just not true.
It is true. You must have fat wife.
No one
or else
is.
You would not be saying that because.
But no one is fat enough to black out the sun and stop the crops from growing.
Many fat women black out sun and cause the eclipse, and then the earth would perish. From
okay. Look, here's all we're saying, and far be it from us to tell you how to rule a country, but in our country, we might think things like that,
yes.
but you never say them out loud.
Well, then you must end up having sex with fat chicks a lot.
No, you don't have to.
Because then no fat chick now will have sex with me, I tell you that much.
Yeah, well, you're right about that.
She knows no fatty fat in my bed ever, because they would drive the force of their fatness. Will drive the bed to center of the earth. And then lava will come up in the giant lava flow and destroy the country.
Well, nobody wants that.
Because their weight is so enormous,
right?
It pulverizes the crust of the planet.
Nobody wants that. I mean, if that's really your concern.
Oh, boy, that's fat.
All right, so to recap.
I don't like fat girls.
Right.
Really?
To recap, Mr. President, you are looking for a woman who is not fat.
I don't like fatty fat fat.
Okay.
Okay.
And seriously, stop eating a lot.
Okay. Noted. Okay. Noted. Thank you. Ahead of Ralph's Showbiz Beat, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets for night number one of the Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert this coming Saturday night. That's the night, don't you know, with the Smashing Pumpkins playing and Social D, My Chemical Romance, Bad Religion, Jimmy Eat World, and so much more. We're going to do it in a fun way because our friend Fred Schneider from the B-52s is out with a new holiday album.
What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking? Cake.
Now, do I have this right, Ralph? Fred Schneider will be singing the hits come after the top of the hour.
He's going to come in and sing lyrics from songs that are playing Acoustic Christmas, and you have to guess what the song that is.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So if you want to play, you can call right now, 1-800-520-106. If you have to hold on for a couple minutes, we'll play after the top of the hour. Now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. Kevin and Beach.
Want something to make you sick?
No.
Especially for guys like Kevin and I who like to bend the elbow on occasion, like to imbibe, like to have a cocktail. And I've spent, how much money do you think you've spent on booze in your lifetime, Kevin?
Oh, my God.
How much? Would you want to know? If you could press a magic button, they said, you know, we'll give you your grand total and all the money you've spent on booze in your life, and we'll write it down on a piece of paper, and you can read it.
Would
you
want to read
that number? Would anyone else? No one else would be able to see it, no.
Maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even want to know.
You wouldn't want to?
I would cry. If I saw what I spent on booze, and I would think what I could have done with that money otherwise, I would just break down and weep like a baby.
Yeah. I know you say that, Ralph, but I don't think you regret a drink you've ever taken. I mean, that's been a central part of the fun you've had over the past, you know, many years.
Yes,
right?
I've enjoyed all the drinks. I haven't enjoyed paying for all the drinks.
But the drinks can add up quickly.
And when you think of all the rounds you've bought?
Yeah.
you bought while loaded?
Yeah.
That's when the money really starts to flow because you feel no pain and you start buying drinks for everybody, drinks for all my friends. They're buying the house around.
Yep.
And then to see that number, I say, wow, I could have purchased probably a small country.
It's funny you bring that up because I have a credit card bill with me from our singles party that I'm going to try and get reimbursed for.
And it was at our singles party. Gross national product of Botswana that we just talked to the president of.
$1,800.
Oh.
And you're really going to turn that in?
That's like a 2 hour drinking.
I'm trying to figure out how to turn it in, but there's no way, right, that they'll...
No. Well, no, of course not.
So just now, I mean, I'm on me now, and I'm trying to figure that out.
What?
No, I guess I wouldn't want to know the number. That would be too devastating.
Why do you bring it up,
Ralph? It would be devastating. Yeah.
Because Ronnie from the Jersey Shore, he's having his 25th birthday party this weekend.
Okay.
And so naturally, the Jet Nightclub in Las Vegas is throwing a big party for him, where they will pay him to be at his own party.
Isn't that
nice? Fantastic.
And he's already put his first order in for drinks for when he gets there.
He's told them, like, have this ready?
Have this ready for me at my table when I show up.
All right.
He has ordered, so far, $11,275 worth of drinks.
11,000?
Yeah. This, of course, will all be comped.
For how many people?
It's for him, his girlfriend Sammy, his manager, and six of his best friends from New York City that he's flying into Vegas.
That still seems like an awfully hefty bar bill for 10 people.
That's the first round. That's what's waiting for him at the table when they get there. Who knows what they're going to order once they start partying.
Wow.
But it's comped. Oh, Ronnie. Oh, for your work on Jersey Shore, for your talent at Asser? No, your money's no good here, Ronnie. GTL, mother effer.
You keep your money. We'll just comp
you this. No, we'll just bring you bottles of gay goose. Gray goose.
Goose is my favorite vodka.
And Dom Perignon. He's ordered two Magnum bottles of Grey Goose and five Magnum bottles of Dom waiting for him at the table when he shows up on ice.
So he's having his party for... He's getting paid to come to his party.
Yes.
And that's all free.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm sure he's got, being from Jersey and hanging with his crowd, he's got a sophisticated palate to appreciate the better liquors in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Here's your Grey Goose, sir. Would you like mixes with that? Yeah, Gatorade, chocolate milk, Yoo-hoo, wine punch, Kool-Aid.
Juice squeeze.
Oh, yeah. Sunny D. I'll take a Sunny D and Grey Goose. Assholes.
The Gay Goose he drinks right out of the bottle.
And he's got a manager, too, which astounded me about this story. His manager will be along with him.
Yeah. And he's making, like, between $2 and $3 million this year. 2010.
Stop it. Stop it.
It's happening.
Leonardo DiCaprio's slasher is finally going to prison. I don't even remember this story or not.
I don't.
But Aretha Wilson, 5 years ago, was at a house party in the Hollywood Hills in 2005. Broke a wine glass and slashed Leo's face open with it.
Dude.
Yeah. Took 5 years to finally get through the court system, but she was sentenced this week to 2 years in prison. She pled no contest to assault with a deadly weapon last month. Once she's out of the slammer, she'll be deported back to Canada. Told you, the damn Canadians, man. So, finally, some justice in this case. Aretha is going inside.
I rented that.
Aretha's going inside?
Yeah, it was good.
Speaking of legal troubles, Willie Nelson.
Wait, is that still a case? They didn't dismiss that yet?
No. Are you kidding me? Willie Nelson has got himself a lawyer that got him off of a similar weed charge 16 years ago. His name is Joe Turner. And he got Willie off the hook for marijuana possession back in 1994. So Willie hired him again because he said he's a guy who knows how to defend a weed fan.
Yeah.
And apparently that still hasn't been scheduled for when it's going to trial, but at least he's well represented and proves that marijuana doesn't affect your memory, according to TMZ.com, because he remembered that guy from 16 years ago.
Yeah, you would remember.
What was that name of that guy who was my lawyer before?
Is that Willie Nelson?
Yeah.
See how they come at black people?
If you had not had fallen, I would not have found you. Angel flying too close to the ground.
Don't know that song.
No. Oh, today's celebrity birth.
Such a great song.
Great song. He whispers. How does that make you feel?
Creepy.
Yeah.
Why are you whispering that?
I was just caught up in the moment of that great song for the great movie Honeysuckle Rose.
Today's celebrity birthday is Kim Basinger, 57 years old today. Terry Hatcher is 46. Sinead O'Connor is 44 years old. Dominic Monaghan and Ian Somerhalder from Lost are 34 and 32, respectively. Phillip Rivers of the San Diego Superchargers is 29. And Nicki Minaj,
oh my God,
is 26 years old today. Her ass.
Yeah, quite a butt on that young
that's
lady.
That's a joke, right?
It looks like a novelty ass. It's like something you get at Halloween.
It really does.
You just strap on under your clothes for the hilarious comedy.
J-Lo looks at her and goes, that's a huge ass.
Wow, look at her butt. I'd be embarrassed if I had a butt that big. Says J-Lo with a big ass. Did we explain that?
I think it's
fully enough.
Pretty sure it's clear.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, giving away tickets for night number one of the Almost Acoustic Christmas concerts this Saturday. Our friend Fred Schneider for the B-52s is back with a new holiday album. His new band is called The Superians. Listen up.
What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking? Fruitcake. Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries, green ones too. It's fruitcake.
I think it's my new favorite.
I think Screw White Christmas. Fred Schneider is on the scene, ladies and gentlemen. And the great Fred Schneider joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show in studio right
very
now.
Exciting.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Congratulations on your new holiday album. I don't know if you saw, Fred, but we put up the video for that song, Fruitcake, at KevinandBean.com for people who want to enjoy it.
I thank you very much. It's real good.
All right, so we're going to play. We have listeners on the line. You're going to be doing lyrics from songs that bands will be performing on Saturday night. If they can identify title and artist of the song you're doing, we'll put them in the drawing to win tickets. This is our new game called Fred Sings the Hits.
Fred Sings the Hits. You could win. Answer right, and you might get tickets. Yeah.
All right. Let's start with Robert. Hi, Robert.
How's it going, guys?
Very good. Long time since we heard from Fred Schneider, but he's going to sing you some lyrics from one of the bands, Night Number One. Good luck.
Need band and title, right?
Correct.
Right.
Right.
Hey, don't write yourself off yet. It's only in your head. You feel left out or looked down on. But just do your best, do everything you can, and don't you worry what the bitter hearts are gonna say.
All right, very nice. If Fred Schneider had recorded that song, that's what it would sound like, but he didn't. So what's the title and artist this time around, Robert?
Geez, let's see. That's from Night One.
Yep. We need a guess right now because we got to move on to some other people if you don't have it.
Bad Religion?
No. Thank you. That was Jimmy Eat World Sing in the Middle, but your version was just as good, Fred. Thank you.
Thank you!
I didn't recognize it. Let's go to Charlie. Hi, Charlie.
How you doing? Good morning.
Very good, thank you. Here's Fred with your song. Identify the band and the song title, please.
Down, down, down. Let it rise above, up from the ground. Can't drown it out. Can you hear it now?
Wow.
Yeah.
Fred, you're such a stylist, Fred. You make every song your own. Congratulations. What song is that?
I know it's not Rock Lobster.
That's correct.
Let's see.
We can't even get a guess with this crop of contestants. Thank you for playing. It was Switchfoot the Sound is what we were looking for. Thank you, though, anyway. Let's
Fred,
try...
just for the just to clarify, you're not trying to replicate the actual theme of the song, either.
No!
Okay.
Because I don't really sing. Okay. I just talk like this.
Okay. Just to clarify.
Fruitcake!
Right. You're right.
Yeah, Rock Lobster!
Hey, George!
Love Shack!
Hey, George. Hello,
hello,
George.
Hi, George.
Yes. Hey, guys. Hey, listen, mate.
Hi.
Talk to us. All right.
Maybe not
here,
the best idea for a game.
No, I think George is going to surprise us. He's going to be the man.
I hope so.
But the day may come when you've got something to lose. And just when you think you're done paying dues and you say to yourself, dear God, what have I done? And hope it's not too late, because tomorrow may never come.
All right. What do you think there, George? Don't let us down here, man.
Smashing Pumpkins?
Sorry.
Social Distortion, Reach for the Sky.
Maybe we should reconsider.
I hope we get a winner, because we are now officially in overtime here, so it's sudden death. If you get it, you win. You go to the show, Night Number One in the Pit. Let's see if that's going to be Alex. Hi, Alex. Thanks for holding on. You ready to play?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, I'm ready.
If you get it, you win.
Was this over before it ever began? Your kiss, your calls, your crutch, like the devil's got your hand.
I'm going to guess this one, guys.
Thank you for that information.
Did he get it?
Oh,
we got a winner!
Everybody was yelling!
We have a winner. You are in the pit to see Amberlynn and the whole lineup on Night Number One. Well done. Thank you, Fred Schneider.
Thank you for having me!
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Ralph Garman joins us about this time every hour to talk about showbiz. What's going on, Ralph?
Are you excited about the new Michael Jackson album?
Not even the tiniest bit.
Can't wait to get my hands on Michael.
You know, I wonder if we would.
Macaulay Culkin said.
I wonder if we would think these songs are bad if we didn't have, you know, Thriller and all that stuff to compare it to.
Yes, because they suck. He hasn't had a good song in 15 years.
Wrong.
If he were alive and putting out albums right now, I wouldn't be interested because his music has blown.
No.
Yes.
Wrong.
What was not the last all of it.
Good, what was the last good song he did?
Oh. PYT.
Remember History?
Oh.
History. His story. His story.
His greatest hits album? Yeah, I remember that.
Black and White? Was that good?
How long ago was that? 1991?
What You Make Me Feel. That was a good one.
Yeah, it was earlier than that. I'm telling you, all of his great songs were in the 70s, 80s, and the very earliest 90s. He sucked since then.
All right, how about Ben? That was a good one. That was recent, was right?
70s, right?
Oh. Anyway, Michael is the latest album coming from Michael Jackson, and it is largely made of songs that he did not put on other albums.
Just in Time for Christmas, which is what you're all getting, by the way, just so you know.
Oh, man.
You know what's dangerous is the Amazon.com one-touch ordering plan.
One click.
Yeah, that's been my downfall.
Yeah, you will find yourself knee-deep in videos and CDs that you really had no intention of ever listening to, but it seemed good, like a good moment at the time.
My wife mocks me.
Good thought at the moment. Time? Yes.
My wife mocks me because there's always a box for Amazon.com, and it's so simple. You're just there, and it's a click. You're not really paying for it. Mm-mm. You're just clicking.
I almost bought the Fred Schneider Christmas album yesterday.
And then I ordinarily, it would have just happened because it's the one click. And then I stopped myself and said, hold on, wait a minute.
I don't want this.
You're not really going to listen to this. Maybe once. Don't be an idiot. Don't impulse buy any longer.
It's too easy.
Yeah. Anyway, I think a lot of people are going to be buying the Michael Jackson CD in that way.
I'm saying none of you should buy it, as that's what I'm getting you.
He's a huge star, and I understand that there are people interested in his music. I'm just saying realistically, and I think you guys have proven my point, he hasn't done a good song in over 15 years.
I think you're going to change your mind when you hear I Can't Make Another Day. His name.
That's it. No?
Maybe we'll talk to Michael tomorrow and he'll have that song ready for us.
What you making? Fruitcake!
Can I just even do the setup
anymore? What you
making?
Fruitcake!
I'm going to play songs that aren't Michael Jackson.
All right, do the setup.
Can I even at least set something up?
Do the setup, and then we'll play songs that aren't Michael Jackson.
This is the latest single from that album that is being streamed online as of today. We found it, and it is a what's so funny?
Nothing.
What's with you two? What are you two doing?
Nothing. Set it up.
So anyway, it is a collaboration with Michael and Lenny Kravitz have worked together on this song.
All right.
I Can't Take Another Day. It's called.
One, two, three, four. You're the dancing queen of the world. Really bad production values.
Is that Lenny playing guitar?
Yeah. I don't think Quincy Jones produced this one.
That is good. I would buy that.
I could be wrong, but isn't that Ralph's high school band we were just listening to?
Junior high school band.
Junior high.
Yeah.
What were they called?
Revolver right there.
Right. Yeah.
That's when we branched out and started doing original work.
You want the real Michael now?
No.
All right.
All right. Give me a little Michael Jackson, Lenny Kravitz. The one that makes it go. You're the one that gives me one. Can't Make Another Day. Pretty good.
Listen,
not good.
I don't know how to pick hits in that realm. That sounds like a hit to me.
That sounded pretty good to me.
I don't know.
He does so much of that, like trying so hard. He's like, It's not good. It's not a good sound.
What does it sound like?
No, what it sounds like.
I just want to hear it again.
He just needs to relax and just sing.
Right,
he's dead. He can't do that.
We want to hear what he sounds like again.
I'm not going to do the thing again. You know what I mean, though. You know that kind of over-the-top, over-enunciating
kind of thing? Show it to us one more time.
That sounds good.
That sounds pretty good to me.
It's hard for me to tell in that format what's going to be a hit, but that sounds like better than the other stuff.
Wait, can I have that record? I love that song.
Better than Kesha. Better than anything Kesha's done.
That's for sure. The holidays are coming up. Are we making their New Year's Eve plans?
No.
Yes.
By the way, I don't think the tickets are on sale yet, but Kevin Smith and I are doing a New Year's Eve show at the John Lovitz Comedy Club.
Oh, cool.
Up in Universal City. Well, what's so
funny?
You're
going to be so drunk.
You're going to be so drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Ralph's just going to start boozing early.
This might be the best
It might be
one
a show
ever.
For the ages. You may want to make a point of buying that. It's going to be a two-hour show from 10 to midnight. We'll be counting down the new year. At the John Lovitz Comedy Club on City Walk at Universal.
Ralph will be passed out by 11:40.
It may be a show for the ages. It may be the one that you want to be at if you're going to go to a live
starting
show.
Starting to drink now.
Featuring Smith and I. But
I know these are free podcasts you can get on the iTunes or wherever, but yes. Has there been any talk about maybe videoing them and then maybe selling those, making a little money off of selling the video of the show?
No, there hasn't been that talk.
Okay.
Because we think the live show is that, so if people want to see it, they come to the live show, which is a cool thing to be able to do. And then, of course, as you mentioned, you can listen to the podcast after the fact. But no, don't talk of video.
So right. Okay.
Because then it becomes a TV show.
And it's commerce.
It's so different.
Yeah. Like commerce.
So it's such a different thing. I think video of people doing radio
is boring.
Is boring,
I agree.
I think a live show has a certain energy to it. I think the audio, of course, the podcast is great and worth listening to. But a video of people talking, I think, may not be what we're shooting for.
Gotcha.
But we had thought about maybe someday doing a TV version. You know how like Bill Maher has
right.
politics, a weekly sort of roundup in politics with guests and a panel and everything.
And maybe that's a good show.
Doing something like that, but that's a whole other animal. So maybe somewhere down the line. Anyway, New Year's Eve was the original point of the story. MTV has announced their plans for New Year's Eve. They are doing MTV New Year's Bash. It'll be hosted by comedian Whitney Cummings.
Oh, I like her. Very funny.
Very funny, because she's hot. Bean thinks she's very funny.
Yeah, no, right. She's also very funny.
She could be, but I'm just saying you wouldn't know.
Flo Rida will be performing.
Yeah!
And the Jersey Shore castmates will lead the crowd in Times Square in trying to break the Guinness World Record of fist pumping.
Oh, God.
Wait, is there a record?
I don't know, but if there isn't one, they will set it that night. The best part of the evening, the denouement, if you